about.
All right, let's get started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
The entire office has come down with a pernicious case of the Mondays.
Wow. What do you put our chances at?
0%.
This is my big and white Clara. I was hesitating about asking a particular question on the air today. Do you think Kevin and Dean can use their contacts to get a mannequin factory to build a rubber vagina into wife Clara's crotch? If that's possible, okay? Mike.
You dropped something on the floor, and I think I know what it is. It's your vagina.
It's a felony to lie to the FBI.
The FBI!
And now...
CBS Corporate Bullshit.
Holy mackerel. Our feature presentation.
Where are you?
There we go.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong now?
Couldn't find his mic.
You got to push certain buttons again and again. I really think a really bright engineer came in here and just decided to throw stuff in just to kind of mess with us.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, would you?
Listen, there's a lot of times operator error, but there's a lot of times where just things change and you look at it and you go, what? How could that possibly happen?
I know.
We are going to take your phone calls, of course, on any topic. Naturally, we already have Saints fans on the line who have been looking for an opportunity to gloat. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are coming up on Kevin Bean's Monday edition of What to Do. I'd just like to say I'm starting to run out of steam a little bit on the puppy bowl. Look, I love the puppy bowl.
Wait, don't you're just wrong. Now running out of steam on it?
Yeah, I watched the whole game last night. I just don't feel like they show up ready to play. They just don't have their game faces on. They take it too lightly. The dogs themselves, the competitors themselves, they take it too lightly.
Now, the puppy bowl is just a camera on puppies, right? As they play, that's it?
Oh, heavens, no. You've never seen the puppy bowl?
No, I haven't.
Oh, the puppy bowl, they got a whole football field with goal lines and footballs and everything.
Right, yeah, but they don't know what to do with them.
No, they don't. They pretty much just lick each other and pee for an hour.
Sounds perfect. Right.
That's basically what they do. But I don't know. I mean, last night they had a husky in there who I thought was a little too aggressive. They kept calling him for penalties because he kept, you know, knocking guys over and stuff like that. Then they had a little spaniel who was just hanging out on the sidelines. And if you're not ready to play, I say why show up? That's my now. They did. They do have the water dish cam, which I do love. I think the water dish cam is awesome. They got a camera that shoots up through the water at the puppies as they come over to drink, so that's awesome. But this year, they start jazzing it up now. Every year, they try to get fancy. Now they've got rabbits as cheerleaders on the sidelines. They've got hamsters in the booth, you know, looking down on the action. It's they're junking it up now.
You're not in for the interspecies.
Well, I think they've gone too far away from the purity that made the puppy bowl so magic back in the early days. That's my problem. You're with me, right, Kevin?
I checked out a long time ago.
I'm just saying. Every year I look forward to it, and I may be losing steam. I may not be back next year.
Wow.
That's how disappointed I am in the puppy.
Wow, that's going to be a real shot to them because, really, he's like one of three people that are still watching.
I know it. It's very sad.
Well, they may go under now. All right, let's start this morning with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You call, we put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, here you go. The one of the very controversial Super Bowl ads was for Dante's Inferno, as you know. It's EA's newest video game. We're going to give you that, as well as extend an exclusive launch party invitation for you for Dante's Inferno coming up on February the 10th. It is in stores available tomorrow, and I think this is the point at which I say go to hell.
Yes, that's
Dante's
it.
Inferno.
That's it, yeah. Which they wouldn't allow the commercial to say, so they had to say hell awaits.
Yeah.
On line one. We got a long-suffering Saints fan, Joseph. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in. What's going on? What it do?
What's happening?
After so many years of being embarrassed to be a Saints fan, I could finally take that paper bag over my head and be proud and embrace the Saints.
So you've had the paper bag over your head the entire season, even though they've been in first place most of it?
No, I'm saying most of the season. Like,
okay.
You just after a while, you think they're not gonna. You think they're going to choke at the end, and finally, they make it and they do it.
It does happen to most teams.
At some point?
Yeah, I mean, even if they're good, somehow they don't make the playoffs next year or something. Right. You know, who knows, an injury or two throws you off. And I got to tell you, though, for my money, the player of the game was the coach. I guess can't be the player
the
of the game.
Kick.
The onside kick and the going for it on fourth down. I think that Saints coach was better than any coach I've ever seen in that game.
He was aggressive and he knew what he could get away with. That's for sure.
It's amazing. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
He must be so bummed to not be in New Orleans. Some of that footage last night. I mean, you know, Mardi Gras is a week away, but it's just going to be an extra long Mardi Gras this year, I guess.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop partying and then start back up again next week. Let's face it.
They don't really do that in New Orleans. Let's go to Gabby, who's already tired of things. Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
Hi.
What did you do? I'm a Colts fan, diehard, have been for years, and I'm happy for the Saints. But this is the last time they can bring up Katrina. I don't want to hear about it.
As far as you're concerned, the debt has been repaid.
Yeah, we've moved on to hippier disasters, you know, so... That's it. They can't bring it up anymore.
So it's hipper to be on the Haiti tip than it is Katrina?
Yeah, most definitely.
I think Haiti needs a team next year. If Haiti had a team in the NFL next year, we'd have to root for them.
Yep, definitely.
Now, Gabby, I know that you're just half kidding, but I have been to New Orleans, and it is still a destruction zone for
them.
Yeah,
they haven't
shocking.
Come very far.
Not much at all. But I know you're just...
I know. I've been there, too, and I feel bad for them and everything, but the Saints cannot use any more Katrina footage and try to get people on their, like, Katrina Saints bandwagon. I'm sorry. I agree.
All right. I think you're right. Thank you very much for the call, Gabby.
Ship has sailed.
I have a friend, by the way, who was furious by how much he heard root for the Saints because the city's been through a lot. Because he says, look, I'm not going to start picking who I root for in a sporting event based on how recent their natural disasters are. Every city has a natural disaster. If Los Angeles had a team, should you root for them because they had an earthquake? If the Bears were the Super Bowl, don't you have to root for them because they had a fire? I mean, where does it stop? At some point, you have to say it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you really don't have a dog in the fight,
how
are you going to choose?
Right. That's the thing that pushed you over the top.
Yeah. Right. That put me over the top.
I didn't care who won at all yesterday, but
because you were watching the Puppy Bowl.
No, I watched the Puppy Bowl afterwards. But I would have been. I was happy for whoever won because I love Peyton Manning. Who doesn't? And you know, I'm happy for the Saints. And Drew Brees seems like a super good dude. So I'm happy for either team who won. But it didn't. I didn't care either way.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Nick.
Why is that gay to not
what?
Have a,
what are you talking about? Hi, Nick.
Hey. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I just calling to say how hot Carrie Underwood looked last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, doing the national anthem? Yeah.
She's attractive. Yep.
But forget about her. Let's talk about Queen Latifah.
Whoa.
Woo! Woo!
Why hasn't she found a nice man to settle down with yet?
I don't know. It's because you haven't talked to her lately.
Carrie Underwood had the white pants on.
She did.
But not only that, she had like a full white outfit. What does that mean? Does that mean something different?
I don't know. The white pants means one thing, but I don't know.
Literally white head to toe. I mean, white shoes, white top, white belt, the whole deal.
I think she's begging for it is what it means.
All right.
It's like an exclamation point.
It's not, okay, like, I'll let you. Right. It's please.
Yeah. Because I'm going to force you to.
Title for survival.
I think that's ear sex is what you start getting that
way. Oh, right. Good.
Just saying.
Excellent.
By the way, I heard somewhere last week, maybe Ralph brought it up, that the over-under, the prop bet that you can make on the national anthem was 201.
Right.
So when it started, I timed it, and it was 147. So there were some people out there who probably won or lost money on it. Yeah, it was an under this year. And by the way, the white chicks are almost always under. It's the black chicks you got to be worried about. They're the ones who turn it into 3-4 minutes.
Because they're better singers?
Just because they, you know, that's the tradition of the big, you know, the big sound like that.
All right, let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
What's going on?
Well, I'm pretty pissed off about the loss last night, you know. I thought we were going to win, but now I lost $300. So I'm pretty mad about that.
So your team lost. You were rooting for the Colts, or you were just betting on the Colts?
Yeah, I was rooting for the Colts because my wife's parents live out there, so... You know, I got to go with the wife. If not, I'll get in trouble.
Sure.
So I made a bet at work with $300 with another guy. He made like $1,000 bet with like everybody at work going with the Saints. And everybody thought he was crazy for doing that.
Yeah, and today he's cleaning up, right?
Yeah, well, as soon as I get to work, everybody's going to be laughing at he's going to be laughing at everybody.
Sure.
Well, Henry, do you have the $300 or were you just hoping you'd win so you wouldn't have to come up with it?
you know what? I do have the $300 because I kept the $300 from my paycheck on Friday.
Nice.
Oh, ouch.
And I told my wife, and so, she, you know, she's not too happy about that. So.
Yeah.
First yeah. quarter, she was happy. We were winning. Next thing you know, everything
went downhill. Fell right to hell. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, most people predicted the Colts, even on CBS yesterday. Three out of the four analysts they had on the TV were all saying Colts. So, I mean, it was a surprise to a lot of people, that's for sure. But they're both great teams. It certainly could have gone either way.
Can I rub something in, Henry?
Go ahead.
You know how, have you guys been to Super Bowl parties where you get a box? You know, there's like 50 boxes and you just randomly...
Oh, the grid, yeah.
The grid, yeah. You put in 10 bucks and you can pick one box and put your initials in it.
Uh-huh.
I won three of those quarters, which is complete 100% just blind luck. You have no say in it whatsoever. Three quarters I won on, I think, different boxes.
No kidding.
Yes. $800. How do you like that, Henry?
Wow.
Just complete blind crazy luck. And everybody there was yelling at me. What? Again, what? So they were not happy, but.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll send you a bucket.
That's nice of you.
Thank you, Henry. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Here's what I'm saying, and I just have one word for you. Wing.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mother effer. Okay, that's two, but wing.
So we're going to talk to Wing today.
Yes, we are.
That's fantastic.
And you're going to find this fascinating, Bean. What does it say to you when a person says no personal questions? Because we've been instructed no personal questions.
Wow, what is going on with her?
Right,
doesn't that's what it says to me.
There's something there that needs to be uncovered.
Yeah.
But we love her and don't want to, you know, make her mad.
But it's not like this is someone we were trying to have on because we had an ulterior motive. We actually just want to talk about her music.
I know. So easy with the, hey, no personal questions.
Yeah.
That's weird,
that
right?
Seems like perhaps she's hiding something.
Asshole.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Annie Wershing from 24. She plays Renee Walker. Excited about that. Kelly Slater will be on the program today in the Ultimate Wave 3D.
There's a little bit of Tommy Lee in that one, Mike.
There was. There was. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith. Super Bowl recap.
Asshole.
Oh,
that's true,
come
too.
On.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Kevin, are you finally going to be happy and shut up today after Conrad Murray gets charged?
Yes, if it finally happens. Is it going to?
It's going to happen today.
That's what they've been saying for 4 months.
But today it's really going to happen.
I read a report. I read a report on Friday that he was just going to turn himself in on Friday, regardless if he was charged or not.
He's just like, camp out there.
Yeah, just tired of it. Look, take me in and whatever. Let's go.
Come on, guys, put me in a cell. But you haven't been charged with anything. I know, but I just want to be here.
I'll do it. Just let's move on with this. If you haven't heard the President Lyndon Johnson talking about his bunghole, you're in for a treat. That's coming up after the top of the hour. Yeah, I'm burping. And we're going to announce our new singles party and start giving away tickets.
Huh, what is that for, I wonder?
That's a good question. This Sunday is Valentine's
Day. Oh, maybe that's
so maybe that has something to do with that. Could so we got all that coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now. On 106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ at 5:52.
Magma. You are listening to the Kevin Beat Show on a Monday. By the way, as Lisa mentioned, Valentine's Day is next weekend, which means we've got a party for you. In about an hour, we'll roll out all the details for you and start giving away tickets if you're single and would like to join us. That's coming up on the Kevin Beat Show. Hey, Ralph Graman, how was your weekend?
It was good. How can it not be? Super Bowl weekend. How can you go wrong there?
Great weekend.
Yeah. I noticed... as long as the game was good, I was, you know, I was enthralled. I always like to watch the commercials as well on Super Bowl Sunday because they vary.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone talks about them the next day. And whoever, whatever the guy from the E-Trade commercials was asking for, who did the voice of the baby,
yeah,
they should have given it to him. Whoever, that actor, the voice actor used to do the voice of the baby, whatever he was asking from E-Trade for his new contract, they should have given it to him because the new guy blows.
Oh, I didn't really notice
those
that.
Those commercials have lost their charm because that guy was so funny before and he was the voice of the baby. And now they just now don't have anymore. Yeah. So
I tune out all commercials with babies, so I don't even know what they were advertising.
Here's my top 10 list. You got your Dave Letterman.
Yeah, Leno and Letterman was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then
that
you
was
got
Dave's
your,
idea.
Then you got your Kim Kardashian, Carl's Jr.
That was strong.
And then there's Kim Kardashian, Carl's Jr., and then the rest of the list continues as such.
Where's Megan Fox, mother effer? Oh, why isn't Megan Fox in your list?
Megan
in a bathtub.
Fox. How could I forget about Megan Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
You're right.
Yeah, Jay.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I used to love those commercials. I guess Bean doesn't watch them, but this guy that was a talking baby who would talk about stock tips and E-Trade and stuff like that. And it was hilarious because of this guy and his attitude, and they would match it with the special effects with the baby's mouth moving, which was always funny. And then they've got a new guy, apparently, and it just
not so good.
It fell flat, yeah.
I need to buy some stocks.
It was Dave. I need to buy stocks and stacks and stokes. And he was saying things weird. It was bad.
King of Mexico put up, I think, most or all of the commercials at kevinme.com.
There you go. Well, finally happened. Someone beat Avatar this weekend at the box office. It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies. Dear John.
Yes.
That chick flick with Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried. That chick.
Is that the Nicholas Sparks movie that you were warning everybody away from on Friday?
That's it.
Based on the Nicholas Sparks book? Is that the same one? The super sappy one that we heard the audio from that just sounded horrible?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
$32.4 million made it so.
Wow. Yeah.
Look, while the guys are watching football, what are the chicks going to do?
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to run to the theaters with their tampons and their makeup.
Oh, dear God.
Their hair spray. And their nylons. All that chick stuff they use. Avatar was number two at the box office. $23.6 million made it. So From Paris with Love came in at number three with just a little over $8 million in box office receipts. So it was a big drop off from two to three. Edge of Darkness was fourth. The Tooth Fairy, When in Rome, The Book of Eli, Crazy Heart, Legion, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Tiger Woods in the news again. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but one of his girlfriends did a press conference last week. Porn star Jocelyn James. She was suing a company that was putting her face on golf balls.
It's pretty funny.
Apparently, her lawyer, Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
Said that it was condoning violence against women.
What?
Because you hit the golf ball and it's got her on it, and that was a violent act.
That's really not the point at all.
Wow. So the golf balls that you buy with President Obama on them, is that advocating violence against the president?
Yes.
Come on. That's embarrassing.
As a victim of violence myself, it bothered me to think that someone would be standing at with a dangerous club in their hands hitting a ball with my photo on it, Jocelyn added.
Please.
I'd like to show her a golf swing right now. Anyway, so in a non-related incident, she decided to release about 100 texts that Tiger had sent her over the course of their affair. I guess, how will that help things? I don't understand.
It sounds like her complaint can't, if you read between the lines, it's, I'm not getting paid for this. Somebody else is using my image and I'm not making any money off it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Jocelyn said that she was Tiger's full-time mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might want to talk to some of the other girls about that.
Yeah, there was no full-time mistress.
Amongst the 100 sexts from Tiger was one that I particularly liked. You please me like no other has or ever will, he wrote.
Nice.
Cheesy! If you're going to write a sex, write something hot, will you?
Yeah. You please me like no one will ever.
Ralph, isn't that chick used to having her face on balls?
That's what I was thinking.
Right?
That's what I thought the whole point was to begin with.
Yeah. Kevin's fiercely got his ghostwriter Mike writing jokes for him back there. Mike's handing him pieces of papers. Balls.
It's a balls joke.
It's my wheelhouse.
How would you like to see Howard Stern on American Idol?
Not even a little bit.
You mean as a judge?
That's the rumor. New York Post says that since Simon Cowell is leaving American Idol, Howard Stern is in talks with producers to step in as the fourth judge on American Idol. Producers seem to think that him clashing with Ellen DeGeneres would provide entertainment galore for the home audience.
Well, we wouldn't have people who don't really know much about music now.
Yeah, because Ellen is not a primarily music person.
I don't think they're as concerned with that as they are about the ratings that with Simon leaving.
Apparently.
People aren't going to watch. So they need to amp up the drama some. And so apparently conversations are having stirred.
But isn't Simon, isn't he the one that knows, music and speaks?
He has been a producer for a long time, a record executive, yeah.
And they got that DeGuardi girl because she
was a songwriter.
She knows so much about music, and she's turned out to be the least likable of all the
yeah, she's
additions,
pretty much
so.
A bust. Mm. I think they have to worry about the show first and the
sure.
qualifications later, so we'll see what happens. But
what
I
do you think, Ralph?
I think they would lose a huge portion of the audience for American Idol if they added Stern, because there's a big chunk of middle America who likes the sort of homey, all-American, golly shucks feel of that show.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think Stern would bring a completely different vibe there that would turn a lot of them off. So
no one wants American Idol to be dangerous.
Yeah.
He would put the or hot edgy. Chicks through immediately, though.
That's true.
So you got would, that.
Robin. You'd say that a lot, even though she wouldn't be there. Robin. Today's celebrity birthdays, conductor, composer John Williams, the man who's given us so many great movie themes over the years, Jaws and Indiana Jones and Star Wars and Superman. Guy does good work.
Yes, he does.
He's the best, right? I mean, he's the best who ever lived at that job, I think.
I think you'd have to say so. He's 78 years old today. Actor Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte.
Crazy.
69 years old today. He's still got the best mugshot in the world, in my opinion. Yeah. With that hair all over the place and the Hawaiian shirt. That was strong. John Grisham, successful author, is 55 years old today. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 49. Seth Green, our buddy from Family Guy and Robot Chicken, is 36 years old today. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 35. Phoenix of Linkin Park is 33 years old today. Bassist Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 25. And Gary Coleman, our buddy little Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
Celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Mm. Who has fallen more than Gary Coleman?
Is he still in jail or did he get out?
He's out, yeah. But he's still angry and small.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, you know, we were talking about the Super Bowl commercials a few minutes ago. Every time we bring up Megan Fox, there's somebody out there, Kevin, who has to email us to go, yeah, but what about her thumbs?
Yeah,
when they do the close-up on her hands, what about her thumbs, guys? That's a deal breaker, right? Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and pass on Megan Fox because of her thumbs? That leaves more Megan Fox for the rest of us. Okay, Josh and everybody else who emailed?
Stupid Josh.
Come on.
All right, let's talk about President Lyndon Johnson. As you know...
I never thought I'd hear Kevin say those words, by the way.
Well, I hate politicians. All politicians suck. And part of the reason is because they have all of the edges of their humanity, you know, shaved off. And they have PR people that everything's a photo op and it's all carefully presented so you
see, don't know who they really are.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you look at President Bush and you get a sense, but there's also like he's a robotic thing. Even Clinton,
yeah.
You get an idea that he's just robotic and
hey, if you ever doubted that, look at what's come out about John Edwards in recent years,
yeah.
Compared to the guy he presented himself as when he was running for vice president and president. And then you find out after the fact that he's just this dog out there impregnating everybody and lying about it, making sex tapes and the whole thing. You're right. You usually don't ever get to see the real guy.
But this tape that just came out at the end of last week of President Lyndon Johnson talking to the pants company, Hagar, about building him some pants that are custom because he doesn't have enough room for his junk. It's really like he's burping. This is the best thing that I've ever heard because, again, I say I could be president. If that's, you know, this is clearly smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Because this came out and he's talking to a dude about pants.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks. He just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown. And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. Almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face.
All right, listen, we get the color thing. Take it easy. My question last week was, doesn't he have anyone to do this for him? But apparently not. He wanted to make the call himself, that you hear the operator connecting him with this dude.
Yeah.
Even in the 60s, there had to be a guy who was right. In charge of the president's wardrobe, right? There had to be a tailor or somebody who could handle this so that he could, I don't know, worry about the war going on in Vietnam at the time.
Well, apparently President Lyndon Johnson was packing downstairs, and he had balls the size of my head. So he needed some specific requests for the pants company.
The pockets, when you sit down in the chair, the knife and your money comes out, so I need it at least another inch in the pockets. Yeah. Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang.
Okay, all right. Yes. So crotch, not enough.
This guy makes pants. He knows yeah. What a crotch is.
I know what a crotch is, and I know, in general, the part of body that is there, right down there where your nuts hang.
I love that he carries a knife in the White House, as if he's worried about Charlie jumping out from behind the desk.
It's always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there, because they cut me.
All right, now he goes into saying, like, he gains weight a lot, and apparently he has a problem with cutting of his nuts by these pants. So he wants them to give him a little extra space.
It's just like riding a wire fence. When I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So, leave me, you never do have much margin there. But see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends.
Come on! And you can hear him trying to fight that burp for a whole sentence.
Right.
And then he finally just goes, oh, forget it. I'm just going to burp and move on with my conversation.
The pants guy must not be able to get his head around what's happening right now.
Yeah,
how am I on the phone with the president of the United States, first of all? That's weird. Second of all, why am I hearing about the president's testicles? Third of all, why is the president burping at me on the phone?
At that point, don't you start yelling at your friends for playing a prank on you?
Yeah, this is it.
Oh, that's funny, Tim. Click. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, he's got a call back.
Ends round under my back of my bunghole.
All right.
Now, I'm not sure where the word bunghole came from.
But you're bringing it back.
But it's way funnier than butthole. Really, I don't understand it. But my God, to hear the president talk about his bunghole.
That's the best.
Great.
Come on.
We asked producer Alex, believe it or not, to fire up the hotline to heaven for us and see if we could get President Johnson on the line. And I think that she has been able to accomplish it. Now, the president probably hasn't been getting a lot of calls since he's been dead nearly 40 years. But let's give this a whack and see if we can get Mr. Johnson on the phone. Lyndon, can you hear us okay?
Hello.
Hi, Kevin and Bean here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you fellas doing?
Very good.
Well,
thank you.
We're doing fine. Thank you very much for joining us. How's it been in heaven all these decades?
It's good. That's the thing about heaven is it's rather pleasant.
It's good.
Yeah.
Can you get pants made to your specifications up there?
We're not. We don't use a lot of pants up here in heaven.
Okay. All right.
Mostly we wear the angelic robes and wings and halos. Although sometimes the halo's a little tight. I could use another inch or so on the halo, but sometimes it'll cut me right there in the back of the head where my, you know, my scalp is, where the hair grows
right.
on the scalp, on the head.
Right, sure.
It'll cut me.
Right, right.
And they don't leave much room for play there in those halos, so well, I could use a bigger one.
A lot of people's head size don't change, I'm guessing.
I guess you never been to heaven.
No, I haven't.
Well, then shut up.
All right.
Okay. Now, whoa. Mr. Johnson, what's going on up there?
It's not up there. What's going on? It's down there. What's going on is the problem. I had me some chili last night at the commissary.
Oh.
The heaven commissary.
The heaven commissary?
Heaven commissary. I see.
And it's, it ain't agreeing with me so good.
All right.
Wow, this is, I mean, we're trying to be respectful.
Great to watch your robe flow up like that when you let one go.
You have a lighter handy?
No, there's a no lighter policy up here. Gotta leave your lighters at the security gate.
Wow.
Corolla's going to be so pissed when he gets there.
Worried about terrorists, I guess.
Sure.
I understand. Okay, Mr. Johnson, is there any way you can hold that while we're trying to interview?
Oh, man.
You don't want me to hold him.
Well,
I explode.
Can you hold him just for the length of the phone call?
What would the bit be, though, if I held him? You guys asking questions about presidents?
Yeah, it would be less funny.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want me to hold him.
Let it rip.
Then you got Bean saying, hey, what about the Great Society? You don't want those questions.
That's true.
I'm just surprised, Mr. Johnson. You must be an unusual size because no matter what it is you try to put on, it seems like it always chafes you somewhere. What's going on there?
Sorry, just giving a courtesy flush to the guy next door.
Wasn't expecting toilets in heaven. I don't know why, but...
Well, that's where I do all my interviews from.
From the toilet?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the rumors that you held meetings in the toilet in the White House. You would make your people come inside the toilet while you were on it.
That's where I do my best thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people...
Oh, wow. Now we know why we never called President Johnson before.
might be a record.
This is might be a record.
Oh my God. This is.
Special hello to everyone whose alarm clock is going off right now. All right, we're going to let you go, Mr. President. You sound pretty tied up there, sir.
Blast the hole in a Hagar slack, that one would.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I don't know if you've heard yet, but K-Rock's World Tour 2010 destination number 3 is a chance for you to go to London to see 30 Seconds to Mars.
That'd be okay.
Blimey!
I'm sorry?
Blimey? Isn't that London? Is that them?
Sure. All week long, you score a 30 Seconds to Mars CD catalog. You get on the standby boarding list. Then we're going to draw Friday morning, send somebody to London to see 30 Seconds to Mars. From the world-famous K-Rock, it is 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. We have been looking forward all weekend long to this phone call. Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television is on the line with a very exciting day for those of us who have been wondering if Conrad Murray was going to die before he got charged in the Michael Jackson case. Hi, Harvey. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. How was yours, guys?
Pretty it was fine. Enjoyed the Super Bowl very much last night. I guess today's the day, Dr. Conrad Murray. How's it going to come down? Is he going to turn himself in, or are the police going to get what they want and actually get a photo op of arresting him in handcuffs?
Nope. He is going to stroll into court at around 1 o'clock today. He will be arraigned at 1:30. We know that he will be charged with involuntary manslaughter. We also know he's going to plead not guilty. He will then, he'll post $25,000 bail. If he will go to the police station for booking, we're told. And eventually, as soon as that's all over, he's going to either fly back to Houston or Las Vegas, and it will begin.
Okay. So involuntary manslaughter, you're the lawyer, Harvey. Let me ask you, is that the lowest possible charge that a human can get for killing another human?
Yeah, I mean, it's a homicide. And typically what you can do is you can charge either for, in this case, the two options were involuntary manslaughter or second-degree murder. And without getting too overly complicated, you can make an argument for either. It doesn't mean he's going to be found guilty of both, but you can make an argument. Second-degree murder was off the table months ago, and that's because this is a really hard case. I mean, the LAPD... I got to tell you, I've done a lot of stories over many, many years. This is one of the best investigations I have seen, and it was really thorough. But this is a really complicated case. He didn't break any laws when Michael Jackson died. He's allowed to use propofol. What the argument is he was really reckless, and that's a little loose in terms of convincing a jury that somebody should be considered guilty of a homicide. So this is an... I think it's an appropriate charge, and now the issue is, in terms of casting, are you going to get a great DA, and this DA is really, really good, David Waldron is really good, and his defense lawyer is really good, too. So now the question, who's going to make the better case?
Now, when you talk about trying to prove reckless, you make an excellent point. That's a word that certainly is open for interpretation. And according to some of the reports that I've heard, and you tell me if you've heard the same thing, Dr. Murray was trying to get Michael Jackson not to take the propofol. He was against him taking it. He was trying to wean him off of it, right? Which certainly works in his favor, I think.
That is a story that a lot of people aren't buying. Remember, Dr. Murray gave Michael Jackson propofol every night for at least 6 weeks, and I know the police believe it's a lot longer. In addition to that, Dr. Murray was saying, yeah, I was trying to wean him off it. Nobody in law enforcement believes that story, because he was giving him propofol to sleep for 8 hours, and the amount you have to give, he was talking about how much he gave. Law enforcement thinks it was many, 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 many times more than that, because you have to give him a lot more than that just to keep him asleep for a night. So he was getting a tremendous amount, according to law enforcement, of this propofol, and they just think Dr. Murray is lying.
Now, but there's nobody else there that can say how he did it or whether he walked out of the room. There was no eyewitnesses, nothing, right?
That's the point. Now, you look at the coroner's report and you say basically that there was so much propofol that it suffocated Michael Jackson's heart. And Dr. Murray wasn't even in the room when apparently he went into distress. He was talking to his girlfriend. He had said that he went out to go to the bathroom. And then when he's talking to his girlfriend in the morning, and his girlfriend from Houston, all of a sudden the phone drops and she hears him administering CPR. So apparently he wasn't paying attention. He's administering this propofol at home rather than a hospital, and it should never be done at a home like this. He's giving it to him to sleep, which is absolutely something you never do. Propofol is an anesthetic. It's not for sleeping. And he wasn't using the proper monitoring devices. So there are a lot of things that Murray's going to have a lot of explaining to do.
We're talking with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about the Dr. Conrad Murray charging an appearance in court today. You reported over the weekend that Dr. Murray went to visit Michael Jackson's grave. Is that for publicity, or what do you think's going on there?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he went there, and you know, we put pictures up on the site, and boy, were there a lot of comments.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were kind of outraged by it. But, you know, look, he died on Michael Jackson died on Conrad Murray's watch, so I don't know what's going through his head in this. And, you know, I got to tell you, even people in law enforcement say, look, he's not a monster. He wasn't out there trying to kill Michael Jackson. What they're saying is he was grossly incompetent.
Right.
And, you know, it's a different story. I mean, it's not like O.J. Simpson going to Nicole Brown Simpson's grave. It's different.
But right. He was, gotcha. Beyond that, he was for sale. He was doing things he clearly knew he shouldn't have been doing.
Well, I mean, that's totally. I mean, that's the argument is, look, he was going to make $150,000 a month. He was desperately in need of money. He was just on the verge of going to jail because he couldn't pay child support. And he needed the money, and Michael Jackson needed the propofol. And Michael Jackson had been doctor shopping for propofol for a long, long time. And there are other doctors who are also giving Michael Jackson lots and lots of drugs, and but for the grace of God. So Conrad Murray is saying, look, it happened on my watch, but Michael Jackson had a drug problem for decades and had a propofol problem for years, and he's saying it's unfair to pin it on him. We will see.
Is it possible that this is another pump fake and they're not going to do it today, Harvey? Because I've been obsessed. The headlines, I went back, I printed out all the headlines that you put up about Dr. Murray, day it's like, all right, he could be charged today.
But what we said was there was a huge feud going on
Between
the LAPD and the district attorney's office, that the DA's office basically excluded the LAPD from the process and started negotiating a voluntary surrender with his lawyers. And the LAPD is saying, wait a minute, guys. Number one, we did this investigation for 8 months. Number two, this is a homicide. You don't want to send a message where somebody can stroll into court. And what happens if an O.J. Simpson thing occurs where Dr. Murray gets cold feet and flees, and, you know, all of a sudden you're saying, oh, that was smart doing another voluntary surrender, and there are security issues because there are a lot of people who hate Dr. Murray, so how are you getting him into the courtroom? Who's protecting him? His lawyer?
Well, the Michael Jackson fans are upset, though. I mean, let's be
honest.
Not very dangerous, though, is what I'm saying.
All right, last question for you, Harvey. You do bring up a good point, though, that we assume, you take him at his word, that he's going to show up. But what if he doesn't and tries to run? Now you got a mess and there's egg on everybody's face. That's an excellent point. All right, last question for you. This would be a jury trial, right? And if so, how tough would it be to find an impartial jury about such a high-profile case in Southern California?
Well, I mean, look, I covered, when I worked at CBS, I covered the O.J. Simpson case. And after that, I decided that, for myself at least, that there is no such thing as a jury that gets too much publicity. I mean, look, there was more publicity in O.J. Simpson than any case I can imagine, and there was so much evidence that he was a murderer, yet they found him not guilty. So I don't think that there's a possibility even that you can't find a jury. I think that's all BS. You can find a jury, especially in this case, which is really complicated. I don't think it is an issue at all.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right. 1 o'clock today, West Coast time is
1:30.
And of course, you're going to have the TMZ live camera feed on that, I imagine.
We are all over it. And Charlie Sheen, and Charlie Sheen too.
Charlie Sheen, his second car has been found over the cliff. Is that true?
Guys, oh my God. You know, his car was found over a cliff. I don't know if you saw what happened. Did you see the Bentley that was found a half a mile away?
Well, that's what I was referring to. I saw on your site.
This is the best story.
Catch us up quickly. I know you have to go, but.
Best story of the year for me. So this woman owns the Bentley, and she has this restaurant in Beverly Hills, and clearly a very rich woman. So I find her after we've got the Bentley. We tracked her down. So I call her, and she's at her restaurant. And I said, ma'am, I don't want to break the news to you, but your Bentley's down a cliff. And she said, oh, my God. And then she said, so she says to me, and then she says, you know, let me just put it this way. She is going to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Which is like, you know, everybody in L.A. is connected with the show business.
Awesome.
So she says to me, look, tell them I don't care about the frickin' Bentley, but I've got this dry cleaning in the trunk, and I really want it back.
The dry cleaning in the trunk of the car that's over the cliff?
Correct. She cared about the dry cleaning. She didn't really care that much about the Bentley.
Wow.
Good times.
Good times.
Got some money to burn.
No kidding.
All right, Harvey, get to your meeting. Thanks a lot for joining us. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Bye-bye. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Monday. Got a bunch of stuff on the program worth sticking around for, including your first chance at tickets for next weekend's or this weekend's, depending on how you say it, Kevin Amin's singles party, just in time for Valentine's Day. Also, Kevin, who's your girlfriend from the 24 show that's going to be on? Annie Wersching. Who's she play?
She plays that character. Don't you ask me that. She plays Renee Walker.
I don't watch the 24.
Well, then why would you ask?
Because I know you're a big fan, and I figure other people may want to know who we're going to be talking to.
She plays Renee Walker. She's undercover right now with the Russian mob.
Okay.
Also, pro surfer Kelly Slater on the program today, and how did K-Fed get so fat? He's on Celebrity Fit Club starting tonight. All of that straight ahead here on the Kevin Amin Show.
First, let's talk about the Super Bowl. I'm sure everybody watched it yesterday. New Orleans Saints destroyed the Colts, really, at the end.
Yeah.
Not really until the end.
It was an exciting game.
It was an exciting game. Great coaching. Peyton Manning, like everybody thought, was amazing, you know, until that pick. But other than that, he was right. He was on fire. And we thought we would check in with his mouth-breathing brother, Eli, today and just see how things are going.
Hi!
Hey, Eli.
Where are you? What are you doing, buddy?
I'm on Bourbon Street. Yay!
Why are you celebrating
who dat?
This?
Who dat?
But the Saints beat who your dat? Brother. Why are you
celebrating?
Who dat? All right. Who dat? All right. Right. We got it.
Who dat?
Eli, aren't you sad though that the Colts didn't win since your brother is the quarterback of Indianapolis?
No.
Really?
Oh, Eli.
Yay! Ooh, Peggy's the best. Your brother's the best quarterback. No, he sucked. He threw an interception.
He did, yeah.
Yay!
Wow, I didn't realize you'd be so happy about it.
I'm so tired of hearing about Hayden.
I'm sure.
Oh, he's so good. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Why can't you be more like Hayden? Why can't you not beat people up like Hayden? Why don't you stop stealing candy like Hayden? My whole life.
Wow.
You know, 3 out of the last 4 years, there's been a Manning boy in the Super Bowl. Of course, Eli, 2 years ago, it was you, and I remember your brother being very supportive of your appearance in the Super Bowl. Seems like you should return the favor.
No!
Who dat? Right.
Who dat?
Now, Eli, have you been up all night?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
They have things. Oh, what's it called?
Drinks?
Cocaine.
Cocaine.
Oh,
cocaine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it makes you not sleep.
Right.
And you can drink all the hurricanes.
Oh, you don't want to drink the hurricanes. So those are rough.
Then you stay awake anyway, even though you drink everything.
Sure.
Only it makes your wang broken.
Oh, that's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Now Eli, have you seen any boobies on Bourbon Street since you've been partying there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know you like those. You like the boobies, don't you?
Who dat? Who dat have them boobies? That girl.
Now,
you got anything else?
What's that?
Ah, who dat?
Okay, all right.
Who dat?
I think we've gotten what we wanted out of
Muse, Pearl Jam, Modest Mouse, and yes, Blind Melon, because you demanded it. All coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different, only
Avatar.
In that Avatar is not number one at the box office, so today is a little different. First time in, I don't know, 9-10 weeks. Avatar not number one at the box office. Dear John, a chick flick based on a book by Nicholas Sparks, the man who gave you The Notebook and Message in a Bottle, starring Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried, made $32.4 million this weekend.
Man, I seen that movie too, and I fell asleep on it.
Is that Chicks just, went in droves.
Is that just we don't want to deal with the Super Bowl, so let's go?
A lot of that.
And Valentine's Day probably coming up. You know, they're in a romantic mood.
Since it's this weekend, they went early.
It's close.
Well, wouldn't they go this weekend then?
You don't know, man. They do what they want.
I'm just
want.
Thinking, if you're going for Valentine's Day, wouldn't you go around Valentine's Day?
No, but they're not
Day?
Going with their guy because he won't go.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
Yeah. That was number one by far. Avatar came in at second with $23.6 million. I think a large part of it, too, is that everyone on the planet has seen Avatar now.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Paris from Love was third at the box office, but only $8 million. Edge of Darkness, The Tooth Fairy, When in Rome, The Book of Eli, Crazy Heart, Legion, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out the rest of the top ten. Finally got around to seeing Sherlock Holmes this weekend.
Yeah,
finally
how was it?
Got to it. I loved it.
I did
you
too.
Hadn't
I
thought it was great.
Seen
I
did
it?
Too.
Not seen oh it. Oh my God.
It's been a while since I've been to the movies. I've been catching up. And Sherlock Holmes was on my list, and I thought it was great, and I can't wait for the sequel, which
loved
is
it.
Right there. They don't make any bones about it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, the sequel starts now, at the end of the first movie. Go.
Yeah.
That Robert Downey Jr., he does good work.
He's great.
Here's the thing I love about my home city of Philadelphia. They get a bad rap.
An accurate rap.
For being a rough town.
Right.
For booing and picking on people and giving generally a hard time to people who come to that city to entertain and or play sports.
Do any other cities throw beer bottles at Santa Claus?
Well, there wasn't. It was snowballs at Santa Claus, right. First of all. It wasn't beer bottles. And he was a crappy Santa Claus, I'll have you know.
Just asking.
That's why they were unhappy, because he was such a bad one.
All right.
But, you know, we talked to that dude who was in St. Louis, who said the situation was at some nightclub opening or
right.
some bar.
Yes.
Making his 15K.
And it yes. was mayhem, he said.
And it was just like Elvis was in the building. People
yeah.
falling over themselves to get near the situation. Well, in Philadelphia, just before the Super Bowl, every year, there's a longstanding tradition of an event called the Wing Bowl, which
the
happens
Wing Bowl.
Just before the Super Bowl, where they get competitive eaters together to see who can eat the most chicken wings.
Okay.
All right? It's a big event in Philadelphia every year. So what the organizers this year did said, let's up the ante a little bit. Let's bring in one of them, their Jersey Shore people. Let's bring them in.
To compete in the eating?
Not cup? To compete, but to make an appearance.
Oh, okay.
We'll make a big
okay.
celebrity kind of deal out of it. So they hired Snooki to come by. A crowd of 20,000 were on hand at the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia
wow.
for the Wing Bowl. I'm telling you, this is a big deal in Philadelphia. 20,000 people. It's like a big party, basically. So they bring out Snooki to meet and greet with the crowd. Well, here is the reaction Snooki got when she came out.
All
yeah,
right.
Chance of F. Snooki apparently rang throughout the rafters of the Wachovia
right.
Center.
Now
to which
right
Snooki
thing.
Started flipping the fans off with her middle finger,
that'll
which
do
made
it.
Things worse. But the best part for me is the whole thing was carried live on Good Day Philadelphia morning program in Philadelphia. So it was a good time was had by all. But apparently Philadelphians didn't take to Snooki too much.
Your people did the right thing.
Yeah.
Explain that to me, Ralph, because you understand the Cro-Magnons that live in Philadelphia. Aren't they practically at the Jersey Shore? You would think they would embrace her as one of their own.
Here's the thing. Philadelphians aren't nearly as fascinated by those people as the rest of the country.
Tired of them?
Because they had an ass full because they've been around them their whole lives.
Right.
And so they're not up for glorifying the Guidos and Guidettes of the Jersey Shore because they have to put up with their BS every summer.
That's real talk right there, man.
So I was talking to some friends when I read this story, and they said, yeah, the Jersey Shore are not a big hit in Philly just because of that reason, that they've had an ass full of those people from being with them their whole lives.
They did the right thing.
Yeah, it's good times.
We've got Snooki.
No, we don't have Snooki, apparently. Hey, I got a casting call. You want to be in the movies? You want to be a movie star? Well, here's how. Apparently, Hugh Jackman has a new movie he's making for Disney called Real Steel.
Yeah.
It's not a porn movie, Psycho Mike. Oh. Sorry. It's an action film. They're looking for a 10 to 14 year old to play the role of young Max, who co stars with Hugh Jackman. They're looking for an unknown young male actor between the ages of 10 and 14 to play the role of Max. You can audition through realsteelcasting.com. If you are 10 to 14 years old, you're a young man with a dream of becoming a young actor. Realsteelcasting.com is the website. You can submit a videotaped audition through there, and they'll be looking for the next couple of weeks for a young star.
So. Are you a pedophile?
Have you double checked this to make sure it's on the up and up?
I talked to the people over at Disney. Okay. This is the real deal.
Right.
Disney Motion Picture Studios is making this
10
happen.
To 14 year old boy.
I'm just saying. I promise you, this
paging
is the
Chris
real
Hansen.
Deal. This is from directly from Walt Disney Studios. Our pal Chrissy over there sent this over and asked me to make an announcement. So
giddy up!
I am so auditioning. By the way, I can play 10. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
12. I can play 12. Hi, I'm Max. See?
Boom.
Got the role.
Yeah.
Got the gig. I am casted. I am casted.
So glad you dig me.
F Snooki.
Ringing through the rafters.
Your people did the right thing on that one.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Williams is 78 years old today. He is a legendary movie composer and conductor. You know his scores from such films as Superman and Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Jaws and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Come
Any
on.
Any movies we've heard of?
Come on with this guy.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Ted Koppel, ABC News anchor, used to host Nightline for many, many years. Now he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Now he runs a website called RealSteelCasting.com, waiting for your submission. He is 70 years old. Actor Nick Nolte is 69. We should talk to Nick Nolte, see how he celebrates his birthday. He's a good
guy. A lot of shots and vitamins, I bet.
And then just a carton of cigarettes. Watch it all now with a carton of smokes. John Grisham is 55. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 49. Gary Coleman celebrates his 42nd birthday. And our buddy Seth Green from Robot Chicken.
Yeah. Seth Green?
That's right, Seth Green. From Robot Chicken and Family Guy, celebrates his 36th birthday today. We wish him well.
Seth Green.
Oh,
come on.
Wow. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Sunday night is Valentine's Day. It's another one of those holidays that they pretend is for couples, but is really just for chicks. But you can't avoid it, so what are you going to do?
Is being the original, I hate being forced to have Valentine's Day guy?
He absolutely is.
And why is that, Kevin? What have you learned about me at my house? Is that every day is Valentine's Day at my house. So yeah. I don't even need February 14th. How you like me now?
Yeah. Well, listen, anyway, you strike us all as being the most thoughtful person alive.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Here's the point, though. Most years on the Kevin and Bean Show, we invite single listeners because, let's face it, Valentine's Day, as Lisa has so often pointed out, really sucks if you're single because you see the love and the romance everywhere, and you're not getting any. So that's why we put together the Kevin and Bean Singles Parties, and we have had, I got to tell you, I hate parties and I hate people, but these parties, really, people turn out and have a great time, don't they? I mean, they're unbelievably successful. Lots of people hook up. We've heard lots of stories of people who have actually gone on to have not just a one-night stand, but an actual relationship from the Kevin and Bean Singles Parties because, as we have pointed out so often, when you show up, you got something in common, which is that you're already fans of this show. So you got a starting point, which is half the battle when it comes to meeting people.
Kind of like the same music. You know everybody there is single, so you don't have to weed out people who are already in relationships. Well, you do, but I mean, not for the most part, you don't. So we're going to do it on Friday night. Sunday, like we say, is Valentine's Day, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it Friday night. It's Kevin and Bean's last call singles party.
We are going to have our own private Valentine's Day party. Singles only.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean's last call singles party.
All right, so it's Friday night. We want you to join us if you're 21 or over at Bardot in Hollywood. We are going to be there. We're going to be having a singles party. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Guy and girl, and I think what we're asking right now is bad Valentine's Day experiences.
Everybody's got those.
Seems to be plenty.
Yeah.
Lisa, weren't you just saying in your last commercial, weren't you just tying it into you have a friend who just has had nothing but disasters every year?
She really can list like 10 bad Valentine's
Days. Well, that's her.
It's shocking.
But that's her, right?
I don't know.
Come on.
Maybe she picks bad men.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Clearly she picks bad men.
Here's the deal. We're going to be partying on Friday night. DJ Omar Khan will be spinning.
DJ Omar Khan.
We have Lightning's confessional booth as usual, so you can go in and, spill your guts. And that'll be put up on the website. We're going to give away a trip to Italy from Contiki to a guy and a girl that are there separately.
Really?
What?
A trip to Italy.
So hold on a second here. Call now if you've had a bad Valentine's Day experience to share with us. If you are selected to go into the party, you could find yourself on your way to Europe, a free trip with somebody else at the party.
Correct.
Do you have to leave that night?
No, you do not.
Thank God.
That was the original plan, but what are you going to do, have everybody bring their passport? I don't think that'll work. So anyway, we're going to do it on Friday night. You call now, 1-800-520-1067. We're not looking for losers. This is very important. You're not a loser because you don't have somebody. We're looking for people who have it going on. You have a great personality. Just so happens that right now you don't have anybody. So, if you're a guy, we want the type of guy that girls would want to meet.
Right.
If you're a girl, we want the type of girl that guys would want to meet. So we're looking for that kind of personality, which is what we're going to try and determine before we let you in or not.
This Bardot in beautiful downtown Hollywood, by the way, we were at the – I guess we were there, what, last year, I want to say?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Beautiful club. Very fancy. The type of place that most of us ordinarily wouldn't be allowed in, but they do push aside the velvet rope for one night and allow Kevin and Bean listeners in there. And just a beautiful crowd, too. Really good-looking people, nice people. I mean, I was really impressed with the turnout last year, and I'm hoping that we have the same this year. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Bad Valentine's Day stories. We're taking your calls right now for just a few minutes, but we'll have tickets all week long to give away here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't we start with our friend Margarita, kind of get us started, set the tone for the guest list. She is on line 8, and she joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Margarita.
Hello.
You could be the very first person invited to the party this Friday night in Hollywood.
Right on.
Or the first person to be denied. Okay.
Oh.
Let's hear your story. Let's hear your bad Valentine's Day story.
Let me see. I received edible underwear, pajamas that say high maintenance.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Excellent. Yeah. But let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Are you high maintenance?
No.
Because that's important.
Absolutely low-key. Not at all.
Hmm. All right. Let me ask you a question so I can keep all this in context. Were these gifts from your dad?
No.
All right. So it could have been worse.
Her name was Margarita. That's like she's a party right there.
She is.
Well, I guess.
What was the condition of the relationship when you got these gifts? I mean, is it the type of thing you could laugh about and you guys went on and it was fine? Or was it the relationship was already in trouble and that put you over the edge and it didn't work out?
Relationship was fine. It was actually really funny. He made dinner and everything, and lo and behold, the edible underwear were on the table, but that wasn't dinner.
Yes.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a disastrous Valentine's Day to me. I mean, it sounds like...
It depends. If you're getting along well, it's great. If you're not, then it's probably not good.
So why'd you dump him?
Yeah. You dumped him that night?
No, I dumped him 2 days before my birthday.
Because you didn't want any more bad presents?
Yeah, no more bad presents. Never gave any jewelry, never gave flowers, never gave anything.
Edible underwear. What do you want?
Exactly. I mean, picky, right to the point. Look, the flowers are the gateway to get to that point anyway. So he's just cutting out a couple of steps. All right, Margarita, you hang on. We're going to take some other calls. I'm not sure exactly how many tickets we have to give away here, but thank you very much for calling and getting us started. Let's try line one. Kevin, I'm going to let you attempt to pronounce that name.
Vaivhav. How did I do?
Close. Pretty close, Kevin. Good job.
Vaivhav.
What is your name?
Vaivhav.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We're not going to have room for you at the party. I'm sorry.
Worst Valentine's Day.
Okay. So what happened was this one girl I was dating apparently had broken up recently. So she was in a pretty bad mood. So she was drinking heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And... about halfway through, about an hour into it, she threw up on me.
Excellent.
Oh, God, there's nothing worse.
Good. Threw up on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good times.
Did you say
girl?
What
do you say to that, you know?
Ew.
Yeah. Excuse me?
I don't know.
Vomit.
All right. I don't know if there is anything to say to that.
You hang on, Vaivhav. I'm worried if Vaivhav shows that the time is now. That's my only fear there. All right, let's try Micah is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, if you're just joining us, singles party, Bardot, Hollywood, very exclusive club this Friday night. We're looking for singles right now at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Micah. Worst Valentine. What's your story?
Kevin and Bean. So last year, this is going to sound so cliche, but it's so true. I ended up having to work late, and I told my girlfriend that, and she... And then I ended up getting off. I was able to get off, but I wanted to surprise her anyway. So I came home. I went to her house, came over. And
all right, before you tell us what happened, before you tell us, this is our advice to everyone. Don't go home early. You don't want to know what's going on. Do not go home early. Drive around the block if you have to get home on time.
Go to the movies, right. Whatever it is.
Whatever you got to do. All right, go ahead.
So, I mean, it's so cliche. I end up going, you know, I stop by the store, I pick up some last-minute roses and some flowers, flowers and candy. I roll over to her house. And I didn't find her and her ex-boyfriend in bed or anything, but they were, I mean, he was over there having dinner.
Her ex-boyfriend was having dinner.
Yeah, and I mean, but then later I find out that they have never really stopped seeing each other.
Oh, good.
Oh,
nice.
That's
even better.
Nice.
Never stopped.
So they shared the candy.
Now, is that because of a flaw in you?
No, there's no flaws. No, she's just I can't say it on air, but.
All right. No flaws. All right. I'm just saying. All right. Hold on. Hold on.
I cut him right off, didn't you?
All right. We don't have much time here. Who do you like?
Let's do Karina.
Yeah.
Hey, Karina.
Hi.
Hi. What happened?
Okay, so on Valentine's Day, I figured, well, my boyfriend was a total douche. He was one of those guys that said, I don't do Valentine's Day, blah, blah, blah.
But oh,
he's being.
Yeah.
Because
every day is Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day every day at your house, Karina.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I figured, okay, at least he'll do a little something, try.
Right.
Didn't hear from him all day. Comes over like it's just another regular day. I'm like crying my eyes out because it was devastating.
Because you're a woman and that's what you do because it's all about you. Go ahead.
So he finally decides, oh, let's just go rent a movie then to make me happy. So I'm crying all the way to the video store.
he should be calling in with bad Valentine's Day stories, by the way, not you.
But wait a minute, wait a minute. At what point do you stop crying and just go, this isn't going to work for tonight? I mean, you go with him to the movie store. You rent a movie.
So on our way over there, just to, I guess he thought he was going to make me stop crying. He says, here. He pulls over to a gas station and tries to buy me something from, like, the little Mexican men that are selling, like, all that stuff.
Hey, that's high-quality stuff right there.
Yes.
That's expensive, high-quality, long-lasting items.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, no. I didn't get anything for Valentine's Day.
I love the visual of this. He's going to try to shut her up from crying on Valentine's Day. All right, what's this dude selling over here on a table at a gas station? I love it.
Like, you now, know, like one carnation with like a ton of baby's breath in it, or like this beat up sure. little teddy bear.
Yeah.
You didn't even deserve that. Hey, Karina, what did you get for him for Valentine's Day that year?
I don't even remember.
Walking papers?
Oh, interesting. Nothing, because Valentine's Day doesn't go both ways, right, Karina?
Oh, dear God. This whole week is
yeah,
just going to be a
bitter bean.
A highlight on Bitter
dear
Bean.
God.
And I women I'll tell you hate what. Him instantly.
Karina, I want to invite your ex-boyfriend to the singles party this Friday night instead of you. How about that? It sounds like he had a worse Valentine's Day than you did. Come on. You people are with me.
No one's with you. No. I liked all of those people.
I did too.
Let's
actually.
Let them all in.
I thought they were all good.
And we'll take a few more calls at 1-800-520-1067. We know, Bean. You
not
hate
so
them.
Much from you, Bean.
Everyone that's a woman you hate, we know.
I'll see you guys on Monday.
All right, good.
Tracy Porter taking it all the way. Touchdown, New Orleans. The Saints win it 31-17.
Come on.
This little guy.
So that happened.
All right. Yeah, so that did indeed happen. A lot of people lost a lot of money, I would imagine, rooting for and betting on the Colts. We've been following, of course, with interest, the hype leading up to the game. And our friend Matt Money Smith was in Miami all week long last week. But, Matt, do I have this right? You left before the Super Bowl. Didn't even stick around for the game.
So I figured you guys were calling me to talk about the Memphis-Gonzaga basketball game I called in Memphis on Saturday, right?
Yeah, that was great work.
So let's stick around in Miami for a Super Bowl when you can call a little Conference USA WCC showdown, huh?
Really? You really had to leave Miami before the Super Bowl to do that?
You know, I guess that's what this life is all about.
Wow.
You decide to get into sports broadcasting. It's like, I got to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to leave.
Oh, wow.
Although, I will tell you, as exciting as it was leading up to the Super Bowl and then the game itself, I got a little bit excited when I saw the March Madness commercial start to come and realized that that's not that far away, too.
Oh, I mean, look, not to waste all of our time on the game, but, you know, you're in Memphis and there's 18,000 freaking people in an arena for a college basketball game between two pretty good but not great teams. It is
interesting.
College basketball is great. There's no question. But as far as the Super Bowl, I heard you mention, Bean, people lost a lot of money. Not if they listen to Old Vance Finance on the Petros and Money Show there. Old Vance Finance pulled in and said, number one, take the Saints, take them on the money line, which of course means you don't even take the points. You just think they're going to win.
Right.
And number two, take the Saints over. Not the total over. It's too high. It was one of the highest overs in history.
But isn't that what everybody expected, was that the defenses would not be able to stop the offenses?
They did, but what they did not anticipate, and what I had mentioned, well, I shouldn't say me, I'm not allowed to do that, but what Vance Finance mentioned, was that the offenses are so good, they will keep each other off the field. They won't be looking for that big play. They'll likely try to have long, methodical drives
right.
to keep the other offense off.
You score too quickly.
Low-scoring game.
You score too quickly, you give it to the other quarterback, you don't want to do that.
Exactly.
Was the coach for the Saints... Was that the best game you've ever seen coached?
He is regularly regarded as the best offensive mind in the NFL. He and Andy Reid is another guy for the Eagles. Those two are considered to be the best play callers.
But see, not just the play calling, but the guts of the play calling. I mean, going for it on fourth down, you know, at the end of the half, and then a onside kick at the beginning of the second half was such a shock.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that fourth down call, and I had some people over at the house here, and we were talking about it when it was happening, like I'm this brilliant football mind or something.
Sure.
And I said, you know, think about it, though. So they kick the field goal, they get 3 points. Peyton Manning hasn't stepped on the field the entire second quarter, so to some degree they kind of were successful there, even if they didn't get any points out of that thing. And if they kick a field goal, they then have to kick off. The Colts can get good field position with all their timeouts.
Yeah, true.
And the ball probably at the 30 or the 35, and it's exactly what happened to the Jets, remember, where they, or the Ravens, I should say, where the Colts scored twice inside 2 minutes and essentially ended the game. So I think that was one of those, well, they're in the end zone. They're not going to do anything stupid. We've got three timeouts left. We might even get the ball back.
Right.
And so I think there was some logical strategy there instead of balls as big as church bells. And that's what the onside kick was. I mean, that's just a straight check out how giant my testicles are.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
How do you rate Peyton Manning's performance? How do you rate the MVP of the game, Drew Brees' performance?
Well, you know, I went through all the numbers last week, the quarterback numbers, and I said Drew Brees was a better quarterback this year. You know, there's just no two ways to slice it. He put his team so far ahead in their big games that they didn't matter. You know, he had five touchdown passes against the freaking Eagles.
Yeah.
He threw four touchdown passes against the Patriots. He had a better rating than Peyton Manning this year. He had more yards than Peyton Manning this year. He had less interceptions than Peyton Manning this year.
Wow.
Yet people just said, well, the Colts could have been 16-0, so Peyton Manning must be the MVP. I mean, he's as good as it gets. He's so efficient. I mean, 82% completions in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. I mean, it's asinine. I mean, to complete 82% of your passes, not to mention the guy started off, I think, 3 for 7. So, you know, you have the rough start, you got the jitters, you're not even playing for a city, you're not even playing for a state. I mean, you are playing for, you know, a country that has so much invested in this human interest story of New Orleans that, of course, you're going to be a little shaky. And once he got, you know, once he kind of got past it, it really was as surgical a quarterback, you know, an opportunity to quarterback a team as I've ever seen, just completely slicing a team up.
So it's the first time the Saints go. It's the first time they win the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the real highlight of Super Bowl 44, please.
This little guy from Motorola has Moto Blur. He pulls all of my important stuff and lets me update my networks all at once.
Megan Fox in a bathtub.
What would happen if I were to send this out?
And then it shows a bunch of people, like, having accidents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I was just...
Got me?
Yeah.
Grab it.
Ladder falls
Grab
over.
Grab it!
Probably nothing.
Yeah.
She wreaks havoc.
That's
I'm not that interested in the commercials. I know a lot of people say that they actually tune into the game to watch them, but I will tell you, the Letterman, Winfrey, Leno commercial certainly surprised me, and apparently that was done in, with all secrecy Tuesday night after Dave taped his show at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Apparently they put a disguise on Jay Leno to get him into the Ed Sullivan Theater so no one would know he was there. Oprah flew in from Chicago, and they filmed that thing as a promo for Dave's show. It was all Dave's idea. Man, that was funny, wasn't it?
They got a lot of nasty with each other.
The whole, you know, I mean, the fact that Jay kind of talked about the affair. And,
yeah.
And, you know, so that's what made that even better.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I think my favorite was Jim McMahon on a Rascal getting a spray tan.
Yeah, that was good.
It was very good. And I think just for the shock of it, the little dude slapping the big dude in the face for his Doritos was quite
That was funny. Sure, a little kid, yeah. What about the non-existent halftime show? Honestly. I don't even remember who played.
Who played? Well done, Kevin.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. I list the Who as probably you know, my three favorite bands of all time. I think Pete Townsend's one of, you know, his generation's greatest songwriters, and I just as soon pretend like that didn't happen.
You didn't care about it either.
I'd like to erase the vision of Pete not being able to hit a freak note and going teenage wisp. Limb sounding like Mr. Burns or something from The Simpsons.
It was sad.
Popping out the bottom of the shirt.
Yep.
That was the thing, is looking at Pete Townsend's belly with the way his shirt kept flying up. That was the saddest part. I didn't think Roger Daltrey sounded terrible, by the way.
No, he sounded okay. He just moved like he was 70.
And it was the big
70.
I know. I know. And I don't know what the hell I was doing there playing drums. I can't figure that
out. Yeah, that was odd. That was odd to see you there.
And then there was just like this Pete Townsend doppelganger in for John Entwistle. It's like, who is this tall Pete Townsend from circa 1970 guy playing bass? There were so many weird things happening.
ever since, although it was a pretty good light show, and I bet it looked amazing in person if you were there at the stadium. But ever since the Janet Jackson booby incident, the NFL has played it safe with classic rock, and that's why you get your Springsteen, and you get your ZZ Top, and now you get your Who. At some point, they got to bring it back to something contemporary, don't they? I mean, this is crazy they're going.
I guess I just looked at the Kevin and B Morning Show, and you know, I hear Blind Melon.
All right, hey, listen, we're out of time.
Maybe like a nice Blind Melon. I know the guy's gone, but just replace him.
Sure, with anyone.
You know, you follow that up with a little dish wall, and then maybe after that you do a little fastball.
I like it.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, the three of us here, at least to chime in if you want. We really put something together here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah. No fun is what I'm saying.
Really, that's right.
Really knock it out. I mean, you know, maybe enough. Do you want to go all the way back to the 80s?
Yeah, no thanks.
The dream is complete for the New Orleans Saints, and we talked to some of their fans earlier, Money, who said they're so happy to finally be able to take the paper bag off their head. They'll never have to hear about the Aints anymore. It's good for a sport when somebody wins who's never won a championship before. You know, Indianapolis certainly has nothing to be ashamed of. They had a fantastic season, and that's a team that you certainly know is going to be back next year, you know, competing.
Everybody hates them. You know, they accept that everybody hates them, and everyone was rooting for the Saints. And I can't believe Kevin's at freaking work today and not on a plane to New Orleans.
You're telling me.
I would have expected him to be seven flaming Dr. Peppers in by now. You guys have got to trust these drinks that are so good. What's that there now? What do you want me to put down my throat? Oh, you got to trust me. These things are so good. Just drink it.
All right, listen.
Check out
Listen, that's what we're saying to those people. Hey, just listen to me. Okay, these are the best drinks in the world, and you're going to drink them. You got it.
We're talking about New Orleans, not me. All right, let's move on.
Check out Matt Money Smith along with his little gay friend Petros Papadakis on their nationally syndicated radio show. Money, thanks for checking in with us, dude. We enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye now. Sorry, B, were you asking how the Los Angeles Kings did over the weekend?
Not even
thanks for
bit.
Asking. I was there on Saturday when we played Detroit and fell behind 3-0 and then beat Detroit. Beat the Red Wings on Saturday. 9 in a row. Thank you for asking, B.
You should tweet that because there's nowhere else people can get that information. It's very timely.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:45.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. We were just talking to Matt Money Smith a few minutes ago about Super Bowl commercials. Kevin, you brought up the Megan Fox in a bathtub. Nothing wrong with that. Mentioned the Letterman one. That was funny. There was a lot of Charles Barkley doing the Taco Bell this weekend with him sitting there in his room making rhymes. And I guess they're very invested in Chuck because we've been running some radio spots as well with Charles Barkley. Listen to this.
The five of the box. It rocks. It rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock. It rocks for a fox. It rocks like a shot. On guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks.
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
All right, now listen. Taco Bell might be the best restaurant ever. It's possible. It's in the running, I think, from my top three restaurants of all time. And I love Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
But, what's happening?
I don't know what's happening.
What's going on with this?
It does sound like somebody's making it up on the fly. I don't know. I mean, It's bad, right?
Well,
it's not just me. It's bad, right?
It's, yeah, Taco Bell, great.
Yes, Chuck, absolutely.
Charles Barkley, not so good on
not,
this.
Not that good.
And I like him very much.
I mean,
he's
do, too.
He guest hosted Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago. He was very funny. He's got a great sense of humor. He's got a great delivery. I like him. I don't know what went wrong with those commercials. So we asked producer Alex, what's going on? Can you get us Sir Charles on the phone? And we've got him now joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Charles. How are you?
Oh, why don't you stop playing that commercial?
Well, it's...
why don't you stop in the middle instead of letting the whole thing play through?
Because it's... bad.
It's tough to listen to, Charles. I mean, I got to be honest. It's just
that's horrible.
It is. That's what we're saying.
That about me.
That's what we're saying.
I thought it was some of the best rapping I've ever heard.
Well, it's pretty. It's just noisy and it's a lot of box and rocks. I don't know. I guess.
First of all, the $5 box, it does rock.
Right. That's a given.
So I'm just telling the truth there.
Right. That's a given. But we're just saying perhaps maybe rap.
It's a box that rocks.
Yes.
The box. It rocks so much, it rocks with rocks.
Right. Now, was that made
it
up on the...
It rocks when you have lots of socks. It rocks sometimes if you don't feel like eating bagels and lox. It rocks.
Right.
Okay. You shouldn't have to write these commercials also. Don't they have professional songwriters maybe that can put some lyrics down for you?
They don't need no professionals when they got me to do my freestyling.
Oh, that's what it is, freestyle.
I'm a rapper.
You're not.
And I play basketball.
Used to.
And people love me.
That's true.
And they do love you.
Who's on your fave five?
Okay, this is it. We're not doing a cell phone commercial now, though, Chuck. We're talking about your Taco Bell ad.
It's five. It's five. They're all alive. You call them on the phone, but they have a bone. It came from a steak and make my belly ache. Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is what we're saying. Is they, your commercials don't make any sense anymore. You've lost it, Charles.
Oh, come on.
What?
Come oh, on, no. Everybody join me. Get together.
We don't need this.
No, let's not rap, though. I think Charles.
I'm Chuck, I'm Chuck. I like to.
Yeah.
No,
no. You can't
no,
do that.
Can't do that one.
Who's laughing there with you, Charles?
No, that's Omar.
What's he
Omar.
Doing there?
Omar is my producer who do all the raps together.
Oh, he puts down the fat beats?
He puts fat beats down.
All right.
They're fat. They're fat. They're where is that? He wear a hat. In. I'm out. Damn.
Kevin Federline says being fat sucks. We'll tell you about his appearance tonight on Celebrity Fit Club, or is it Celebrity Fat Club? I can never remember. That's coming up.
Oh, wow.
How
does he know it?
Which one is it? I'm not making a joke. It is Fit Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Also, we'll talk to pro surfer Kelly Slater coming up next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's happening?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to the very special advanced screening of Valentine's Day. Appropriately, comes out this weekend. It's in theaters everywhere on February the 12th. However, you get to see it before anybody else at the Beautiful Grove here in Los Angeles on February the 11th. If you're one of the first lucky callers to call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers get a pair of tickets to see Valentine's Day, star-studded Valentine's Day.
Has everyone.
It does. It's a lot of people in that movie. Speaking of movies, it's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. For the first time in a long time, Avatar doesn't top that list. It only made $23.6 million this weekend. That was good enough to make it number two. But number one was Dear John.
Would you have guessed that?
No, sir, I would not have.
I wouldn't either.
However, The Notebook was a smashing success.
Yeah.
A lot of people went to see that.
Well, maybe
but
it's
then
the whole.
There were a lot of other ones of his that weren't. Smashing.
Is this?
I mean,
this
I love The Notebook, but a bunch of the others.
Was this
are
based
crap.
On a book? This
yeah,
one?
This Nicholas Sparks writes a lot of romantic novels that are sort of like he's the Stephen King of romance novels.
Maybe that's the built-in.
He just cranks out a ton
interest.
Of them. This was a very popular book.
Yeah,
a lot of broads went.
Sure.
With their Mazengill douches and all the other accoutrement they carry around with them.
They took them in.
All their estrogen pills and their mustache wax.
That's not how that works at all.
All the other stuff.
What's wrong with you?
Their
cats.
Earrings and their cats. And their potpourri and all the other crap they carry with them.
And too many pillows.
Bags of stuff.
Too many pillows. Yes, you do. Y'all carry your bags of crap in it everywhere you go. There's no room in the theater for anybody else.
Man. You're
too busy buying things that are female.
Lighting candles.
Yeah. Dear John made $32.4 million at the box office this week, and From Paris with Love was third with just $8 million, the new John Travolta movie. Not a big success. Edge of Darkness was fourth. The Tooth Fairy was fifth. When in Rome, The Book of Eli, Crazy Heart, Legion, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out your top ten at the box office this week. And speaking of movies, this Taylor Lautner, this kid from New Moon in Twilight.
Yeah. Sure.
He played the talking dog, right?
He played one of the talking wolf. Dogs.
He was right. A werewolf.
Wolf. He is becoming the human toy. That's all he does now. Makes toy movies. He was cast as Max Steel, a popular action figure from Mattel.
Okay.
They're making a movie out of that character. He will play Max Steel in that movie. And it's just announced today that he will also be starring as Stretch Armstrong, based on the Hasbro toy in the 70s and 80s. Which was a toy that you could stretch. And he will be Stretch Armstrong. The toy will now be a movie about a secret agent who gets a hold of a potion that can make him stretch. Long
he's not
ways.
A. He wasn't a comic book hero or
no.
A superhero?
Stretch Armstrong was just a toy.
It's not like Mr. Fantastic or something who can actually do useful things?
Same powers as Mr. Fantastic. He can stretch. He's like Plastic Man and those other characters. But this is Stretch Armstrong, based on the Hasbro toy, which was a rubber action figure. Basically, you could grab his arms and pull them, and they'd stretch far.
Okay.
That was the toy.
All right.
Wildly popular, considering its concept.
Sure.
I never really got it myself, but you could tie them in knots and things, if that's your... You know, gets you going.
But does he fight crime? Or
he does in the movie.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently Universal plans to make it in 3D as well. Of course, because if it's not in 3D, it just doesn't count.
Doesn't exist.
Just ask Dave the King of Mexico. Oh, 3D IMAX. I won't even go if it's not 3D. Take a look today. Celebrity birthday, shall we? Jeremy Davis, bassist for Paramore, is 25 years old today.
I love them.
Oh, Paramore. Good day to be a bassist. Phoenix of Linkin Park celebrates his 33rd birthday. Wes Borland, guitarist from Limp Bizkit, is 35 years old. Seth Green, our buddy from Family Guy and Robot Chicken, and new Titan Maximus, he is 36 years old today. Gary Coleman.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on. Gary Coleman's 42 years old today.
What's my name?
Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 49.
Anything?
Anything?
Anyone?
Nope.
No? Yeah.
Thought that was Tommy Lee.
It is. Well,
it is, but Motley Crue.
It's Motley Crue. Oh, okay. I was trying to help.
As close as we could get.
Nick Nolte is 69 years old today. Anything?
No.
Yeah. Ted Koppel from ABC.
Still alive?
70?
Really?
Yeah. And John Williams, musical conductor and composer from many, many famous feature films. He is 78 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about KFED. I don't really watch the Celebrity Fit Club. I catch it from time to time. It's a pretty fascinating show. But
it is.
KFED, Kevin Federline, is on Celebrity Fit Club Boot Camp, which starts tonight.
Now we have to watch, right?
Because he fat and he bad.
I've never seen this show, but it's The Biggest Loser, except with celebrities. I mean, essentially, that's all it is. You get a bunch of famous has-beens or formerly famous has-beens, and you get them to drop the weight on camera.
So he's going to be there. He says that it's the paparazzi's responsibility why he realized that he was fat. He didn't know he was fat until he saw a picture of himself in one of the magazines. He went, wow, I look like that through other people's lenses.
Really?
I know the picture that he's talking about of him coming off a ladder into a pool. And
right.
I swear to God, it looks like you're at the Shamu show at San Diego.
It is. But how does he not have a mirror anywhere in the house?
He had to buy clothes over and over and over to accommodate his girth.
Yeah, you would think
Come on.
So he's going to be on with Shar Jackson, who was his
ex-wife, right?
Yeah.
First baby mama.
Bobby Brown is going to be on the show.
Oh,
and Nicole
good.
Eggert. But really, Kevin Federline. I mean, really, he's the
draw. That's why we watch. Yeah.
Well, it airs starting tonight on, I want to say,
VH1.
Is that right? VH1. And we've got the former Mr. Britney Spears, Kevin Federline, on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, K-Fed, how are you, man?
Yeah, dog. What's up? What's popping? You know what I'm saying, boo? You're cheesy for cheesy. This
All right, you're
got
still,
no sleazy.
Right, but you're white. Again, we keep reminding you, K-Fed, you're actually a white guy.
Yeah,
so is this?
But I look
is
good this... now. I look good now, dog.
Do you? Really?
What's up, players? It's been a long time since we talked, K-Fed.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
We call and they always tell us you're at lunch.
Yeah, I mean, look, dude, I got a little pudgy. You know what I'm saying?
You got a lot of pudgy.
That's right. You know, but when you make Skrilla like I do, when you make cash, when you make paper like I do, it's easy to just get lazy. You know what I'm saying? Sit around the house, throw on Scarface. You
right.
know, grab a bag of Doritizies. You
right,
know what I'm saying? Go stop by Taco B's, pull a burrito. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe a don't easy.
But that's because you didn't have to earn it. You're not working for the money. You just get it from Britney, right?
Whatever. Kid, you know what I'm saying? When you got dollars in your pocket, dollars in your pocket, it don't matter. You just sit back. You know what I'm saying? And you know what else? Hey, hold on real quick.
What's going on?
Probably not going to serve you. Well.
I'm just in my home gym right now. You hear my voice.
I hear someone working out.
It's Black the Ripper.
Yeah.
Black the Ripper and my homeboy Pancake and my dog Girth Brooks.
Right.
And
those are your producers, aren't they?
Dark Gable. Yeah. Look, I got a studio up in my pad. I got a gym.
Are you using the gym?
Yeah, dog. Look.
But you personally?
I was up in the Celebrity Fit Cleazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? VH1.
Right, and it debuts tonight. You already filmed the whole thing?
Yeah, okay. Man. And it's like I lost a lot of Wiz 8. And I felt good about myself again. So now I continue. I took some of my Skrilla that I earned off that show, and I built this gym, and I'm in here right now just pumping iron, you know, staying tight, staying flexed.
Well,
swole.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in the gym smoking weed, though, which
to me
means you're going to be hungry after this interview.
Yeah, dog, but, you know, it's different now because, you know, what was I saying?
You were saying it's different now.
Yeah, it is because, I mean, I used to grab a Snickers.
Right.
I used to grab some fried cheesy.
Right.
I used to grab some Griggy Greasy. You know what I'm saying? It didn't matter.
Yeah.
But now I may hit up a protein shake.
Wow.
Or some asparagizzle or some brockizzi. You know what I'm
trying
saying?
A little too hard, aren't you, K-Fed?
That's fine. All right. So the point is that from your high school weight to where you got at your heaviest, you gained over 100 pounds.
Yeah,
how much
man.
Did you end up losing on Celebrity Fit Club?
400.
400?
Probably, yeah, up like 400 pounds or something like that.
Well, according to the article I'm reading, you were 130 in high school, then you were 245 at your heaviest.
So, let me do
the math.
Hold
really
on,
lose
let me do the math, kid.
400.
Yeah, so like 400. No kidding.
All right. All right.
I know you still got the studio in your house. Has this physical transformation found its way into your quote-unquote music?
Oh, dog. Wait. Listen.
What?
I wrote a song for Celebrity Fit Club.
You wrote a song?
Oh, good.
For Celebrity Fit Club. I emailed it to you, Kevin. Don't you got that MP3Z?
I have one here. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Listen, I want you to play this morning. It's like kind of like a theme song about me and my transformation, but also about like my time on the show and what this show, Celebrity Fit Cleazy, which debuts tonight on VH1 Kizzle. You know what I'm saying? It debuts to Neasy. You got to check
all
it out.
Right.
Here's my song. It's going to drop right here on the Kevin and Bean show.
And what's the name of it?
Damn.
Yeah, you don't have a name. All right.
It's okay. Yo, it's K-Fan. Man, I realized I put on some weight. I looked in the mirror the other day and I wasn't happy with what I saw. So it's time to take the power back. I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to start dieting, exercising. You'll see. I'm going on Celebrity Fit Club. I'm going to get my self-respect back, y'all. No more chicken, no more grits. I started to get fat, but now it's time to get fit. Diet, exercise, and I ain't gonna quit. Call me Michael Jackson, cause I'm screaming, this is it. Extra baggy FUBU sweats. I be hitting up them supersets. Up in the gym, I'm as real as it gets.
You know,
cause it's Celebrity Fit Club, don't ever forget. They call me K-Fat, but now I'm K-Fit. I be telling Jack LaLanne that he ain't. Mixing up the protein in my Cadillac. I'll be trading in the pot belly for a six pack. Running on that treadmill, set at full speed. My trainer told me that I need to quit smoking weed. Wait. Hold up. What's this about quit smoking weed? Man, I know I've gained some weight, but y'all need to recognize. Until my lungs start to bleed. It's obscene how much green filters through my pipe screen. Hitting that bong like my name was Tommy Chong. All day long, everybody sing along. I got the skunky aroma, preventing my glaucoma. I'm getting so baked, I feel like I'm in a coma. Video games and chronic on my tonic, cuz look, don't get it twisted, all right? I'm ready to lose some weight and go on this reality show, but I ain't quitting no weed. I ain't never gonna stop smoking weed. Not till the day I die, all right? You know what I'm saying? I got my priorities, all right? You can take my kids if you want, but don't take my sack. Do not touch my green. If you want, just take any of my children.
Wow.
All right? Plenty more where that came from. So there's only a limited amount of dank weed. Peace.
You sound like you got distracted in the middle of making that record tape, Ed.
Damn. What?
Actress Annie Wershing from the hit show 24, also pro surfer Kelly Slater, all coming up here on the Kevin.
And
the greatest entertainer in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen, Wing.
Thank you.
Wing, all of that still ahead in the next hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to take care of you if you are loveless. We're looking for single people 21 and up who want to join us in Hollywood this Friday night at Bardot, which is just a fantastic place. We were there last week. In fact, we're talking about having an awesome singles party just in time for Valentine's Day. We're calling it the Last Call Party. DJ Omar Khan will be there.
DJ Omar Khan.
We're giving away a trip to Italy for two of the people that are there. Do I have that right?
Yes.
One guy and one girl are going to win a trip together to go to Italy while we're there?
That's correct.
Ridiculous. And we're looking for you to kind of fill out the guest list. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's Last Call Singles Party.
We are going to have our own private Valentine's Day party.
Singles only.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean's
Last Call.
Last Call Singles Party.
All right. So the theme today is bad Valentine's Days past, because we're going to try to help you make it a little bit better this year. So why don't we start with, let's start with our man Ricardo. He's on line 7, calling the Kevin DeVine Show. Find out what kind of disastrous February 14th he's had before. Hey, Ricardo, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, last Valentine, we had, I celebrated with my ex-girlfriend. It was a family and friend dinner for Valentine's.
Wait a minute. You celebrated Valentine's Day with your ex?
No, she was my ex at the time.
Oh, I see. She was your girlfriend at the time.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah. And she wasn't necessarily getting the attention she thought she needed. She was a very needy girl. And halfway through dinner, she walks out and leaves. And so I spent the rest of dinner by myself, and pretty awkward with a bunch of other couples who were close to me.
Oh, man.
She walked out during the during the meal.
She left.
She was done with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
She wasn't done with me. She was having a hissy fit. I dumped her the next day because that's non-negotiable. It's unacceptable.
All right.
Well, what do you suppose she was throwing a tantrum about? What was going on in the relationship that made made her not be able to stick it out?
Nothing. She's just that type of person. She's selfish. She was hot, though. Really hot. She's still hot, actually.
So you hang in there for a long time after you
You do give the hot chick the benefit of the doubt for a lot longer.
I did for a year and a half, and then that was the last straw.
Yeah.
All right, Ricardo, please hang on. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try the beautiful Megan on line 8, please. All chicks named Megan are hot, by the way. I'm convinced.
Is that true?
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Tell us about your Valentine's Day.
My boyfriend of 6.5 years just broke up with me, but 2 years ago, on Valentine's Day, he took me to lunch to Subway. And then at nighttime, when I called him thinking we were going to go to dinner so we could, like, make up for that, he broke up with me. And then a week later, I found out he was dating another girl who he had been hanging out with the whole, like, time, and I never knew about it, and it was awful.
All right, let me see. Hang on. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying that you found this out 2 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, but that he just broke up with you recently?
Yeah, we've had a horrible relationship. Like, it's been off and on for a long time. I think every Valentine's Day has been horrible with him. Like, I always find out he's with somebody else. And...
Yeah, but why did you go back, Megan?
Megan, why were you still with him?
Because I'm an idiot, and that's why I need to, like, go to this party and have a good time and meet somebody. Like, I'm fun, I'm hot, like, please. Like, this guy's a creep. And I
doubt all of that, but Megan, let me ask you this. If you're just coming out of a 6.5-year relationship, are you in the mindset to start something new with somebody this weekend, or are you just looking to get banged Friday night?
No, definitely not. I want to have a good
time.
Ooh,
wrong answer.
The best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
Well, that's fine. I'll do it then.
Okay.
Right. Party,
look,
please.
Here's the thing. You've made some really bad choices. That scares me.
People do learn.
She didn't.
Yeah, that's what I think.
She did it. She had a bad Valentine's Day every day, every year for 6 years.
That is 6 years.
Two years before he broke up with her, she found that he was seeing somebody else long term.
Well, yeah. I want you to come to the party, Megan, because I want to talk to you and find out why you can't keep a man. I'm really interested in this now.
Please,
all right.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Colin. He's on line 4, calling the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about bad Valentine's Day, giving away tickets for this Friday night's Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party, Bardot, Hollywood. Hi, Colin. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
A couple years back in college, I had been getting, along with a girl pretty well. We'd been, starting to see each other and such. And Valentine's rolls around, so I decide, I'm going to try to be romantic because, first Valentine's I'd ever, sort of been with a girl. And I, go out, buy a few expensive things, some chocolates, go over to her house. And, when I knock on the door to surprise her, she tells me that her ex-boyfriend's there and they got back together.
Yeah!
How long had they been back together?
Apparently just a day or two.
He decided Valentine's Day was when he needed to get back with her.
So why did she let you come over if her ex-boyfriend was there? Why didn't she try to hedge off at the pass?
Yeah, don't surprise. Don't surprise. See? You don't want a surprise.
That's part of the Kevin and Me master plan. We've been telling you guys for years, you never show up if somebody doesn't know you're coming. Believe me, you don't want to know what's going on when you're not there.
Sweet bliss.
I learned my lesson.
Ignorance is bliss.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Kevin real quick. He ended up sending somebody to the hospital. He's on line 6. Kelly Slater, by the way, pro surfer, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show in a few minutes to talk about something completely different. Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Good. What happened? Hey,
well, I met this girl at that Pink Dot store right there on Sunset.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And super hot. Ended up taking her to that Cheesecake Factory right there on in Brentwood.
You know how to do it.
All the locations.
You know how to do it. Give us the address, the specific address.
We don't need any kind of MapQuest for this story, Kevin.
It's not your waiter.
So I ordered some fish.
Okay, hold on, Kevin. Stop right there. You park on the street or do you valet? What'd you do?
We walked.
You walked, okay.
Right.
Now, what kind of fish did you order?
I ordered the lemon-crusted cedar plank.
How was it prepared?
It's Cedar Plank lemon crusted.
Yeah, all right.
Did and you get that with the asparagus or the corn?
Nothing, by itself. So we were.
Can we say no to this guy just for bad storytelling?
Yes, we can.
Thank you for the call. Now. We appreciate it. We'll take some calls a little bit later. Thank you.
Kelly Slater is unquestionably the greatest surfer we've ever seen. He's old enough to be the fathers of some of the rookies. And the guy shows up at 36 and he just schools them.
He's won 8 titles and possibly 9 this year.
I think the only record he doesn't hold is that he hasn't won every single event.
Ever since I was a little kid growing up, he was the main guy that, you know, everyone looked up to, and he still is to this day. And
Kelly dominates surfing as Tiger dominates golf.
Well, like he used to. Like Tiger used to dominate golf.
Hey, well, Tiger has dominated golf, man.
He has. That's true.
Hey, he's dominated more than golf, my friend.
That's what I mean.
I'll tell you that. We have been lucky enough to have had Kelly Slater on the show for many, many years here on the Kevin and Bean program. We're very happy to welcome him back to talk about the new film that is called The Ultimate Wave Tahiti 3D. You can't put out a movie these days, can you, Kelly, unless it's in 3D. No one cares anymore.
Yeah. Crazy stuff has to happen.
Tell us about the Ultimate Wave Tahiti and tell where it is and how it came about, all of that.
I guess it's in Tahiti. That's my guess, Kevin.
Wow, you are smart.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, how is it formed and what's the history of it?
Well, I'm not sure what the inception was exactly, but basically it's a film that is based around, the story is based around my friend Raimana from Tahiti and me going down there to visit him and trying to surf this wave that everyone calls Chopu. It's actually pronounced Teahupo, but everyone goes down to surf Chopu, and it's one of the most dangerous waves in the world, and when it's big and scary, it's pretty much a sight to see, so... It's kind of a film about the science of waves, but the story revolves around us in Tahiti.
Okay. Now, you've surfed big waves before. Was it something that was different? Was it a different sort of experience for you being on that particular wave versus others? Or are they all about the same, Kelly?
No, this wave is pretty sought after by people. You know, when we see a swell, a lot of people line up to get on the flight and get down there for it. So. I've surfed it pretty big before, but I hadn't surfed it as big as we got it in the film. You know, it's not big every day. I've been there when it's not even breaking. It can be really small some days, but when it's big, it's really dangerous. About 10 years ago, a guy died out there hitting the reef face first.
Oh,
and
that doesn't seem good.
Yeah, he broke his neck and his jaw, and that was kind of the wake up to everyone. Like this wave is serious, and. I don't know how no one's died there since, because guys have ridden probably the scariest waves I've ever seen there since then. A friend of mine, Shane Doran, got a wave, ironically, on 9/11 2 years ago that was, it looked like Photoshop. It didn't even look like a real wave.
And, wow.
There's been a few ridden like that there.
So basically, everybody, all the good surfers watch the news, and when they see this wave created, they all jump on a plane.
Yeah, we just go on to a few of the different websites And we kind of all got this one guy we talked to, and he gives us the rundown on what swells are. You can look around the world and see what swell is big, where in the ocean, and then basically follow it to where it's going to be best.
All right, forgive me if this is an ignorant question, Kelly, but when I think of that part of the world, Tahiti, which is a beautiful, beautiful country, I always think of the guys surfing with the longboards, and that's not what you use. Is it a completely different style of surfing out there?
I forgive you. No, it's basically almost all shortboards there. It's almost every single wave is kind of a dangerous reef pass. There is only maybe 2 beach breaks that I know of in Tahiti. It's all reefs besides that.
Reefs not good. Reefs equal danger.
No, reefs good.
Good, I
Injury
mean.
Injury equals excitement equals fun.
Right. Tell us about the 3D filming. That had to be dangerous at best with those waves.
Yeah, well, funny enough, some of the most dangerous filming was when it was small, because we took this water housing out that when the camera's loaded in it, into the housing, it weighs about 130, 140 pounds, and it barely floats. And it was a pretty funny sight, because I'd sort of be surfing by myself. It wasn't a real crowded couple of days when I was there at this time. And the filmer, Mike, and then Raimana would jump in with him, and about three or four or five different guys would be holding on to the back of the guy filming just to hold him, because when the wave would go over,
right,
the camera would go with it, because the thing weighs basically like a human that's, you know, dead weight. So it was pretty funny, because they went over on the reef a couple times and kind of got smashed up. But when it was bigger, it was actually easier to film, because you just sit in the boat and, you know, the wave comes right to the boat.
Yeah. We're talking to Kelly Slater, by the way. The film we're discussing is called The Ultimate Wave Tahiti 3D, and it is starting this weekend at the IMAX Theater at the California Science Center at Exposition Park, Los Angeles. And I assume this is the kind of movie that's going to tour the country. We've got listeners all over the country, and they'll get a chance to see it as well. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, I believe so. I actually don't know how many theaters or what the schedule is, but, you know, my family back home is already asking when's it going to be in Florida, and my friends in Hawaii were asking me last night when it's going to be there. So I'd imagine it's going to be in those places soon. And I'm going to go up to Monterey next week and golf in that Pebble Beach AT&T, and I think it's going to be in Monterey next week.
Wow.
You know, they've been making these surfing movies for 40 years or something like that, but the technology has gotten to the point where people sitting in the theater, especially with 3D, you've got to feel like you're actually out there with you when you're watching it.
Yeah, I haven't watched this film on the IMAX, ironically, but one of my friends that I work with went and watched it at a showing the other night, and he said that it looked like we were sitting, like, in his lap, which is kind of crazy.
Is that good?
I don't want to sit in his lap.
Okay. So.
You know, I read this interview with James Cameron the other day, and he said that he's waited 30 years to make Avatar.
Right.
The technology had to catch up. But the 3D is best from close range, and you know, so a lot of the best shots we got were sort of you know, close up reef shots and things we could set up, whereas the surf shots, you end up being, you know, at the end of a ride might come right by the boat that's filming, but you know, during the ride might be 50 or 80 yards away from the boat.
Are you thinking of both? Are you thinking, I gotta stay safe, I'm having fun, and I need to get over by the boat?
The boat is definitely secondary.
Yeah. You
know, if you're lining up a wave that's, I don't know, let's say, you know, we didn't get a lot of giant surf. We got one or two days of real big surf while we were there. Say, you know, 20 or 25 foot faces. And, you know, when you set up a wave like that and it's breaking in 8 or 10 feet of water, you're worried about the wave a little more than the boat.
But sure.
Once you set your line and you know you're going to make the wave, then you can kind of focus on, okay, you know, we're going to cruise by the boat here at the end of this ride.
Then you start thinking, how's my hair? That's what's on your mind.
Yeah, that. And then I'm thinking what I'm going to have for lunch and stuff like that.
All right, last question for you, Kelly. Did you run into any animals out there? Whales, dolphins, whatever they got in Tahiti?
There were whales. Yeah, there were some humpbacks there while we were there. And you see the occasional manta ray, and you see a lot of sharks.
Good times.
And
that's what I look for in my surfing experience. Bring on the sharks.
No, I was in Kona the other day, and we paddled out. We paddled an outrigger out. My girlfriend and I and a couple friends paddled an outrigger out and watched a baby humpback breaching about 20 times, like,
oh, wow.
From us. So
wow.
Oh,
pretty cool.
How about that? Well, your life doesn't suck, my friend, and this movie looks awesome. It is called The Ultimate Wave Tahiti 3D. Again, if you're in Southern California, check out the IMAX Theater at the California Science Center at Exposition Park, Los Angeles, starting Friday, and that's running all summer long. Kelly, great to catch up with you on The Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I got to tell you, though, for my money, the player of the game was the coach. I guess can't be the player of the game.
Yeah. That was A Moment with Kevin.
You know what I mean.
Wouldn't be the player of the game so much.
Right, but you know what I mean.
Since he wasn't playing.
Right, but you know
he'd be the coach of the game.
I'm saying, the most important person on the field.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean.
I got you.
You know what I mean.
All right. I'm just wondering.
From 24, the beautiful actress Annie Wershing. She plays Renee on that program. Is going to be joining us coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph joins us for a look at the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
I want to mention real quick, getting a bunch of emails from people who want to see the Adam Carolla show live. Adam, of course, doing his podcast live now in nightclubs and theaters and bars across these great United States of ours. And the show's this Wednesday in Ontario. The show this Wednesday in Ontario is sold out, but they've added a second show. Ontario, California.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Improv in Ontario, California. They've added a second show. So you can still go to adamcarolla.com if you want to see Adam Carolla and myself and the Dan Band and Jeffrey Ross. It's going to be quite a show this Wednesday night. Next week is Irvine. They've added a second show for that one, too, because they sold out.
Canada?
Wow.
No, California. And then the El Portal Theater
in North Hollywood at the end of the month on Saturday the 27th. A big theater is going to be the wow. location. This Corolla, this kid's career might take off.
Turns out he's got a little something, something going on.
People seem to like this Corolla kid.
Should give him a radio show.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, they tried that. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Dear John, Lisa's people went to this one in droves. $32.4 million. Lisa, you said you weren't interested in going to this
no,
movie.
No, not at all. I don't generally like movies based on Nicholas Sparks. The Notebook was the big exception. I thought that was really good.
Well, you are alone because 32.4 million people.
That really surprises million
dollars
me.
For the people went.
At least on the right side for once.
I know.
Wow.
Inexplicable.
This is great. Standards.
Oh, no, you
I
don't.
Do.
You don't at all. Stop it.
Zero.
Ew.
Avatar was number two at the box office for the first time in its release. $32.6 million. Excuse me, $23.6 million.
That's still a lot.
It is a lot, yeah. From Embarrassed with Love, the new John Travolta thriller, only made $8 million, but that was good enough to make it number three. Then Edge of Darkness, The Tooth Fairy, When in Rome, The Book of Eli, Crazy Heart, Legion, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend.
What do you think the reason is this Mel Gibson movie isn't doing a little better? He's a big, big movie star.
Yeah.
I think it seems dark for a lot of people. It doesn't look like a very fun action-adventure film. Seems like a lot of people are put off by its tone, which you can imagine. A lot of people like lighter fare.
They don't like to see people's daughters die.
Yeah, and dark, dark revenge stories. We're talking this morning about American Idol. Simon Cowell is leaving, of course, after this season as its most popular judge. Who will replace him? The New York Post says this morning that Howard Stern is in conversations with producers about taking over for Simon Cowell. They believe friction between he and Ellen DeGeneres would make for interesting television. However, I heard from a source that I cannot name this morning who has some clout. I believe in this person.
Okay.
Says to me that it's much more likely that the new judge in the next season of American Idol will be Elton John.
What?
Ooh.
Elton John. Remember, you heard it first, and we'll see what happens. But Elton John rumored to be also in conversation with the judges to be the new judge on American Idol after Simon Cowell leaves.
Well, he brings credibility, but he's not a very interesting or colorful person when you listen to him speak.
I think he's colorful.
He's as colorful as they get.
Very colorful.
Rainbow.
It's colorful.
A puff, a fairy, a queer, a queen, fudge packer, uphill gardener, fruit picking sodomite.
I don't know about that. I'm just saying, I think he's colorful.
He doesn't say interesting things, and I think that's Simon's role on the show is to, you know, mix it up. You care about what he says partly because you don't know what he's going to say. With Elton,
if someone said Ontario and he said Canada, would that be colorful enough? Would that be interesting?
You'd have to fire that person, wouldn't you? There's no way you could put up with that.
Yeah. You know where Ontario is. We have many, many listeners to this program who have no context for the word Ontario. That's all. I'm just trying to help them out.
I'm guessing those people won't be there Wednesday, so I'm not worried.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
Celebrity birthdays today. John Williams, composer and conductor, is 78 years old today. He, of course, gave us Star Wars, Superman, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Close Encounters, Schindler's List. Works a lot with Spielberg.
Yep.
Boy, that guy can write some music, can't he?
Turns out.
He wrote Wing's latest album, I think.
No. Yeah? Nope.
Yeah, all the tracks on Wing's latest
album.
Anything
to do with Wing.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
By the way, Wing doesn't want any personal questions. Just want to keep you posted.
No personal questions.
No personal questions.
We don't have any personal questions.
No personal questions,
but
please.
We don't have any.
Please, Kevin, do not talk about her very public love life or any of the other controversies surrounding her famous situation.
Now
please,
I,
no personal questions. Please.
Now I feel
please.
Like I need to drum one up.
So, Wig, who are you dating? That's going to be our first question.
All I know is Kevin drove away David Hasselhoff with a personal question when we
I
had
did
him on.
Not.
Someone I personally would like to have established a professional relationship with.
He said, I haven't touched alcohol since college. I was.
You cannot not follow that up.
Right. I was shocked by that. Come on.
We've lost Dave now forever. So I'm going to come out and I'm going to ask Wing a personal question.
No, don't do it.
So Kevin will never get a chance to talk to her on the radio.
Don't do
again.
It, man.
So, Wing, I heard you're dating Gerard Butler.
No, I'm not.
We have to talk slowly, too, by the way.
Well, that's
you. They told us.
That is your forte.
It is, yeah.
As they say. Did you hear about the problems in your country? Why aren't you as excited about Wing being on the program as we are? Ralph, you love her music as well, right?
Yes, but here's the thing. Her music, I think, stands alone. I think her music speaks for itself. I really don't think you need to have a conversation with Wing, because that interview is going to blow.
And by blow, you mean be great.
No, I'm pretty sure I mean blow. That makes me unique.
How can you not want to get closer to that woman?
How did you first get into music? What? Where's the big wave in Tahiti? Who was your favorite player at the Super Bowl who wasn't playing?
I'm going out for. I'm going to start smoking again just so I can go out for a smoke.
Come on, you asshole.
Birthdays. Gary Coleman, 42 years old today. Seth Green, 36 years old today. Phoenix of Linkin Park celebrates his 33rd birthday. And Jeremy Davis, bassist for Paramore. Oh, Paramore. I love Paramore. He is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beautiful New Zealand songstress Wing joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 15 minutes. Kevin, I know how you always say you could be the president. You always say that it looks easy.
I could be the president.
You'd be great at it.
I would be great at it.
And I know you always say you'd be an awesome like undercover agent, CIA, FBI, something like that. Could you be Jack Bauer? Do you have it in you to be Jack Bauer? Do you
kidding?
Because I know you love the 24. I mean, is it only just coincidence that he got that job and you didn't?
Like, I'm not that way in my real life, dude. I torture people. I yell at them and say, everyone get down. I do that.
You do?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
I know 24 is one of your favorite shows, and it is back for a new episode tonight at 9 on the Fox Network. You know, they're up to day 8 now, I guess.
Yeah.
Day 8.
He's
a lot of
bad days. Bad days, yeah.
In his life. We're very excited to welcome for the first time ever to Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful, talented actress who plays Renee on the program, Annie Wershing, joins us right now. Hi, Annie. How are you?
Hi. Very good, Bean.
What is she? We don't have her. She's on the phone.
How are you?
Oh.
I like being on the show.
What happened? I thought we had her.
All right. Now we have her. Do it again. Do the whole thing again. Big set.
Blah, 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 blah. Annie Wershing, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Nicely done.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Sorry, we just introduced you. You weren't quite there yet. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome back to 24.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on today.
Are you at CTU right now? Because we want to imagine that you are.
I actually am, yes. I have Chloe here right next to me. She says, what up?
That's funny. Chloe doesn't seem like the what up kind of girl.
Yeah, she is in the morning, really. She is, actually, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, she, as an actress,
yes.
Huge fun playing a role like this. You get to do everything, right?
Oh, my God, huge. And especially last year, I thought I got to do a lot of cool stuff. And then this year came along, and they're like, okay, your first day back this year, we're going to have you cut off a thumb. Go.
Yeah, that was a little shocking. Did they explain it to you? Like, you're going to have to come onto the show this year and out Jack Bauer, sort of.
They didn't say it quite like
He's
that.
He's scared of you.
What?
He's scared of you. I mean, that's quite huge,
yeah. Right? For, to have him actually be like, oh, no.
Right.
About someone is a pretty big honor.
Yeah, he's the guy who breaks all the rules. This time you come back and you got crazy eyes. You got bonker eyes this year. Really? There's some kind of past that you have with the Russian mobsters, and you look like you've gone through a lot, and they keep alluding to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to find out all of those details, or are we just going to parse them out throughout the year?
No, you find out pretty much. I mean, you find out a good amount last week, and then tonight you find out a good bit more. You know, she hasn't had... The last 4 hours for her haven't been great, and tonight is probably her worst hour yet.
Excellent. So you're saying this is worse than when he had a gun to your head and you were shouting, kill me! Pull the trigger!
I would say yes.
You're going to say worse than that.
She's not going to have a good hour tonight.
Wow.
Look, I understand that Jack always gets talked into coming back in, no matter how crappy his previous days have done, but why don't the rest of you retire? Why don't the rest of you go, not my problem, man? I mean, what kind of person voluntarily puts him or herself in the kind of situation that you guys are in?
I know. I don't know. You know, they messed me up so bad from 1 year, I didn't have anything left to, like, live for, so I just had to.
So you came back crazier than ever.
Their fault, yeah.
Now, this show has a way of turning on people. Like, for example, Tony Almeida has been the good guy, and then the bad guy, and then the good guy, and then the bad guy, and then they keep changing it. Are they doing that with your character? Are you going to turn into one of the bad guys? You still a good guy? What's your allegiance?
I think she'll always be good, you know, way deep down. I mean, she's obviously messed up and different than last year, but she'll never be like a Nina bad.
Really? Do we know that for a fact?
I don't, well.
Have they told you?
We'll see. I mean.
I'm saying you should check.
Next script I get, they're going to be like, okay, evil.
Right. She's going to go over the top. Yeah. She's going to start killing people. Well, you are hanging out with the Russian mobsters in this particular one. This has to be a lot of fun to play the character that really just doesn't care about anyone or anything.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And these actors have been, because usually I'm just stuck with Kiefer, you know.
Sure, just Kiefer.
So it's good to mix it up a little.
To work with somebody who doesn't show up on David Letterman in a dress,
right.
You mean?
Yeah. What was that about? I wish you would have chosen a better dress.
Well, it wasn't a nice dress, if that's what you're saying. But I think when you lose a bet, you don't really choose which dress you get. That's how it works.
I would imagine that people love Kiefer Sutherland so much and love this character so much that you must be the envy of all of your girlfriends.
They're pretty excited. You know, my best friend since I was a little girl is like huge, huge, huge fan. So she's constantly just like really pissed.
Just
like,
kind of, here, give him a note. Here, pass my phone number along.
Give his phone number to me. It's got to be weird, though. Do you still face the same kind of, I imagine at the beginning of 24, there was a lot of, oh, we got to play by the rules. You know, you're presenting the authorities in a bad way, blah, blah, blah. We can't torture, blah, blah. Is there any of that anymore, or has everybody kind of accepted what 24 is and just moved on?
When we do press panels and that kind of stuff, you know, we're always asked about it, Howard and Kiefer for the most part. But, you know, the show wouldn't be the show that it is without that element of it. You know, it's all for dramatic effect. And I think last year was a good year because we really took it to, you know, my character in particular had a lot of conversation about it with Jack's character. And so at least we talked about it a lot last year.
They did that probably on purpose because of all the response they were getting to that particular thing? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think they decided, you know, purposely to go right after it.
Well, I got to tell you. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bean.
I was just going to mention, for folks just joining us, we're talking to actress Annie Wershing about her role on the TV show 24 that is back tonight with a new episode at 9. You guys are at the UN tonight? Is that the episode we're going to see?
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of stuck in with the crazy Russian guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, some other people are at the UN. I'm always somewhere weird and dark and gross.
There's the president of a Mideastern country, and they're trying to, you know, get peace talks going, and they're having all kinds of problems with that. And the president's brother is trying to get weapons-grade uranium, and you're with the Russian mob. There's all kinds of trouble on this
program. All kinds of stuff happening.
It's really just a lot to keep track of.
All in a day's work.
The writers must be amazing to be able... I remember seeing the very first episode of 24 and thinking, okay, there's no possible way they could top that 1 hour of 24.
I know, me too. I remember watching the first one too. Yeah, I don't envy them whatsoever.
But they seem to be able to do it. I mean, this is what, the eighth year?
Yeah, eighth season, like ninth year kind of with the writer's strike. But I don't know how they do it. I really, they lose a lot of sleep.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm sure.
Exactly. Well, it's a great show. It's one of those few programs that's critically acclaimed as well as a big hit in the ratings, too. So congratulations on being part of that. We'll look for a new episode tonight at 9. I'm glad we finally got a chance to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Annie, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Annie. Bye now.
Okay.
Wing the singer, Kevin, is admired by fans throughout the world for the passion and joy she shares through her CDs and performances of popular songs. With a unique voice and an ever-widening repertoire, Wing loves singing. And she lives to sing. Her goal is to sing beautiful songs as they should be sung. She spends 3 to 4 hours every day working toward this goal, which is a coincidence because I spend 3 to 4 hours every day listening to Wing sing.
That's
she
correct.
She has 16 albums out, way more than the Beatles, and way more talented if you want my money. Kevin, when did you first become introduced to the beautiful Wing?
I saw that episode of South Park, and the boys were going to become managers, talent managers, and they had the singer named Wing, and I wanted to see who was playing that character of Wing on South Park. So I checked the scroll at the end of the show, and it said Wing as herself. I was like, no way, there's a real Wing. So I found, I've ordered maybe 4, 5, 6 CDs from her because she does great work, and she's on the phone with us now. Hi, Wing.
Oh, I'm so excited. Hi, Wing.
Hi, good morning.
Well, hello. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your continued success.
Yeah, it's so excited. I have a chance to talk to you all and say hello to everybody.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it is exciting, and the reason we wanted to talk to you today is one of our listeners told us that you are offering something new on your website where you will now call your fans directly and sing to them. Is that true?
Yeah, I have a new red project. Now it's on iTunes now.
I'm sorry, did you say a new rap project?
Yeah, new rap project.
Okay.
It's on iTunes now, and you can search for rapper McCrepperson for featuring Ring for the song Southbound I-5.
Okay, this is, let me translate, Rappy McRapperson.
Yeah.
Is the name of the rapper. And
really?
It's, yes, it's called Southbound, and it features Wing.
My name is Wing. I like to rap, and I like to sing. I like to dream, and I like to swim. Yes, with Sisso in the Wing.
Now, Wing, this is new for you, rapping, isn't it?
Yes.
All of your other CDs you've sung on, do you think this is a direction you might go on, or is this just a one-off thing with this rapper?
Yes, it had another one, at least one or two is coming now.
One or two more. Okay, good, good.
Okay. Well, you don't put Wing in a box, Kevin. She can do it all. There's no reason why she can't do every kind of music because she's that talented. Now, I'm happy to hear about your rap music, Wing, but the question that I was asking was about the new service that you were providing where you were call people up and sing to them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes, yes. The most popular one is Happy Birthday Song.
Oh, so people can contact you and then you'll call and sing Happy Birthday on the phone.
Yes.
And you will also sing another song from the repertoire. For instance, if I wanted to hear Dancing Queen, I could pay you and you would call me at home and sing Dancing Queen to me.
Yes. You can have a number of songs for choosing to sing to you.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Great news.
Now, how did this idea get started, Wing? Was it your idea?
Yes, my own idea.
Uh-huh. And has it been very popular? Have a lot of fans taken you up on the offer?
Yes, they like this service very much.
Mm-hmm. Can we get you to call us every day this week and sing a song?
Yes, you can.
That's what
I'm pay us more sum for the toll call.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, so we have to pay the $10 or whatever it is in addition to your telephone bill for the call because it's long distance.
Yes.
Worth it.
Absolutely worth it.
Worth it.
Now, Wing, the last time we had you on, we were very sad that you had no plans to come to America to visit. Is that still the case?
No, I still will come.
You will? Okay.
You are going to come to the United States?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, do you know when?
No idea yet.
Okay.
Not fixed yet.
Okay.
But all my friends in America support me and like me so much. I definitely have
of course.
To come back.
Now, Wing, yes. Is the rest of your music on iTunes as well, or is it just the song with Rappy McRapperson?
Oh, a lot of songs. All my CDs you can find on the in the iTunes.
Awesome.
Oh, hey, Kevin, I bought the tribute to the Bee Gees. I bought her Bee Gees cover album on iTunes last weekend, and I've been enjoying it very, very much.
Nice.
What is it about your singing, Wing, that you think moves people around the world? Why do so many people love you and your music?
Yeah, they like my live performance very much.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Why is it that you think, though? What is it that they love about you?
They like me very much. They like, singing with me together, mm-hmm. and they are clapping, dancing, waving, and all fall into my music when I sing it.
It's your positive energy, I imagine. They love.
Do you think a lot of people make love to your albums?
They like it. They like my song very much.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Wingmusic.co.nz. That's the website because Wing's down there in New Zealand, don't you know? Wingmusic.co.nz. And, of course, we'll put a link up to that at kevinandbean.com. Wing, any message for your American fans before we say goodbye?
Can I sing a happy birthday song to all my fans for their birthdays in this year, 2010?
Please do.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wing.
Yeah.
Now. And now Wing.
Here's Wing.
Are you saying you want to sing or?
Yeah, okay. I'm putting on the music.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is a rare treat. Now, we don't have to pay for this one, right, Wing?
No.
This one is free. The first one is free. All good drug dealers know that.
Yeah, it's free.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Wing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
No problem. We love you. Now,
Wing.
Here comes the Wing.
And now a live performance.
Wait, were you asking, can I sing it rhetorically? Or did you mean you were actually, you were planned on singing it? There we go.
Happy birthday to you, oh, happy birthday to you.
Come on.
Happy birthday to you.
That was it.
Another verse.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you.
Does it really have second
happy
verse lyrics?
Happy birthday to you.
Again.
All right, now I don't know what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Remix?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wing.
Nicely done, Wing. That was beautiful.
Okay. Thanks. No, we got it now.
Happy birthday to you.
Begin. Come on now.
Okay. Now I think we are done.
How about that?
Oh. I am turgid. All right, Wing, thank you so much. We love you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again soon, my dear.
Yeah.
No? Okay. Okay. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She sang three verses of that.
How about that? By the way, that sounds exact. If you just hear the end of that song, it sounds like we're playing the Grateful Dead on the Kevin and Bean Show. So weird how different that is.
The Dirty Heads featuring Rome is who that is. So.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And before we get to that, Ralph, just like with the Ozzy Osbourne interview last week, many of our listeners are convinced that you were playing the part of Wing, that that was actually you doing a funny Asian voice on the phone. It was not you.
Yeah.
It was not him.
It was the real Wing from New Zealand. That's who we were talking
about. I want to move to New Zealand.
Sound like a Bond villain. So you're gonna come to America?
Yeah.
Wait. So you'll be doing music?
Yeah. So, Mr. Bond, we meet again. Yeah.
Well,
very sinister. Very sinister sounding.
Yeah, she does. You're right. There's a little of that, but there's a lot of sexy.
Your first time rapping?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't want to tell you everything she knows. She likes to keep some surprises held back.
Yeah.
All right, time for the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What you talking about?
Speaking of sexy, coming out in Esquire magazine's new March edition. They do this thing in Esquire magazine. Are you an Esquire reader, Kevin? Do you pick
not
up
really.
Esquire ever?
No.
They do a thing called Women We Love, which is an ongoing series in the magazine.
Excellent.
Which is just they just pick the best women, and they get them to pose for photo layouts in various states of undress.
All right, then.
And apparently their current choice, which I couldn't agree more with, is the lovely Miss Anna Torv.
Yeah.
Oh. If you're a fan like I am of Fringe, you know her as FBI agent Olivia Dunham, and she appears topless in this edition of Esquire magazine and looks just so yummy. Delicious.
Esquire. She's no Wing.
No, but who is?
Yeah.
She also will be seen in the upcoming HBO miniseries, The Pacific.
Hey!
In case you haven't seen enough TV about World War II, they're going to give us
that. Oh, thank God.
We're going to check that out, so that'll be good.
It's really Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg again, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They can't get enough. Can't get enough of that Second World War. Last good war, as they say.
Is it one? What is it? Is it one show or a miniseries?
Miniseries.
Miniseries.
Yeah, on the HBO. I don't know if you're a fan of Fringe, if you've been watching the season, but it's been better than ever this season.
It really has. It's crazier than ever.
And last week, where the two buildings were together in the same place at the same time?
That one I didn't see. I saw the tease for
that
it.
One, dude? Yeah. Oh. Two dudes get fused together from different universes, and he's got like six arms and stuff and two faces. One's coming out of his stomach. You don't know. No! Just freaked me out. Anyway, that's a great show, and she's beautiful and talented, and There's a photo of her now.
Yeah.
With her top off, looking all sexy and Australian. The human target gets to take that home every night.
Yeah, that's
true.
Make
sure the human target. What?
How do you do it?
Your buddy Bean already beat you to that joke, remember?
I know.
What I like is when they're going to make the porn version of human target. We have to change the title.
Really? Said Mark Valley, star of the human target. Okay, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dear John, you're number one. See what I did there? I was addressing John there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the title of the movie. $32.4 million made it number one.
Whoa.
This weekend. Thank you, Christopher Walken. I was very impressed by that tally. Avatar was number two. First time we can say that since its release. $23.6 million. Made it number two, and then it drops right off. From Paris with Love, the new John Travolta movie, only made $8 million. That made it number three. Then Edge of Darkness, The Tooth Fairy, When in Rome, The Book of Eli, Crazy Heart, Legion, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan and Samantha Ronson apparently still stuck in their toxic relationship they can't quite get out of. Yeah, Lindsay was at a club last week where Samantha was spinning.
Yes. I hope they got in a fight.
Well, apparently Lindsay was trying to get her attention, but Sam would give her none of it.
Uh-oh.
And so Lindsay started, according to bystanders, drinking vodka straight out of a bottle.
Oh, God.
That sounds about right.
Wow. So what do you need a reason to do that? Today's celebrity birthdays, Linkin Park's Phoenix is 33 years old today. Wouldn't it be great if Phoenix had a guy named Linkin Park in their band?
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
That would be good.
Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 25. Wes Borland is 35. He of Limp Bizkit fame. Seth Green's 36. Gary Coleman. What you talk about? Willis is 42
What's
years old.
My name?
Gary Coleman. I just said it. Nick Nolte is 69. Ted Koppel is 70. And legendary film composer John Williams is 78. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. It's the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning. An all-new program, Wing, will be on the show.
No, every no day more for the Wing. We got it.
Are you high?
Yeah.
Every day for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Love her.
Look, if for $7 we can get her to call us every single day and sing one of her songs, why wouldn't we do that every day that this show's on the air?
That's what I'm talking about. And she came correct with it, too. She really slayed us with that song. That performance. Also, tomorrow morning, Scott Niedermeyer of the Ducks and the Canadian Olympic team.
Niedermeyer.
Playing for the enemy.
Nearma.
And we have more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got the 40 minutes nonstop, including some new music from the band called Neon Trees. That song's called Animal. Also, Rise Against, Metallica, 30 Seconds to Mars, Slightly Stupid, and more. All coming up right here on K.